although these things pass through cabinet, that does not mean that they've been looked at very carefully by each department which they affect. So we thought it would be good to hear you, and all we really want to know is where the problems are and the loopholes and whatever problems you have. I wish not the detail of it. So I really want to thank you for attending. Then to say that we have a program for 3 days, this morning, tomorrow morning, and Friday as well, hopefully a short program on Friday. So far we've got all the departments giving inputs today, so environment, human settlements, health, water affairs, cooperative and governance, and then we've also asked SALGA to be here because clearly, as local governments, they also have a role to play. So all the government institutions we'll deal with today. And then tomorrow we have 7 submissions in the morning. So that's going to be a hectic morning. And then Friday I've tried to limit it and move some of the inputs to the Wednesday and rather pack them in there. So we have 4 inputs on Friday. And 2 of them are basically given by the same person. So it's really 3 inputs. So I'm hoping that by Friday we'll be finished by no later than 11 o'clock. So I know people, particularly people that live in the far provinces, struggle to get planes and so on and so on. So Friday morning we hope to just to do those basically 3 inputs. And as I say, should be finished by 11 o'clock. So we shouldn't have tea in that to take more time. We should just push through, okay? So that's the program. A lot of submissions. I hope everyone's got copies, all the members have got copies of the submissions. And a copy of the strategy as well. They've got that. Okay, so I hope you're well prepared for all those. Are there any issues that anyone should raise with the program before we start? Any of the members? No? Okay. So let's push on. All right. Good morning, Department of Environment. This is your strategy. You've drafted it, so we've given you some more time to explain it and highlight it for us. When the DDG came and spoke to me this morning, I was talking about sanitation, she was talking about waste, and I started realizing the two are not the same. So it just shows you how a lot I'm going to learn today, again, through this process. But I know you've got a slide presentation, so over to you. Morning, Ms. Kobina.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, honourable members, and good morning, fellow government department colleagues and industry stakeholders. My name is Nolwazi Kobina. I work for Environmental Affairs. I'm the acting DDG for Chemicals and Waste Management. What we thought we would do is just a brief run through some of what's coming out of the comments that have been submitted, the submissions made to Parliament, to just pull out what we think are the key issues, and then we'll go into the detail of the content of the strategy. But before I do that, I'd like to just...
Can I suggest you do it the other way around? End off with the comments.
Right, we can do that. We can
just
do that.
Just so that, I mean, we've then heard what the strategy is, then we hear what the comments are, okay?
Okay, that's fine, Che, except to just maybe just take this opportunity to thank the Chair and the committee for providing this opportunity. We share the sentiment, Che, that you expressed earlier, which is that even though the strategy, it went through an extensive public participation process, it was approved by Cabinet, it was gazetted last month, we think that this process of the public hearing is going to enrich the implementation of the strategy in a big way. So we're very excited to be here. We are particularly pleased to note that, in fact, in the room we have quite a few of the people, or at least the organizations, that were part of the steering committee for this particular project, the development of the National Waste Management Strategy. And so we're very pleased about that, and we once again just thank you, Chair. I'm going to hand over to Obert Baloyi, who is going to run through the content of the presentation, and then when he's done, we can then deal with some of the submissions and then give an overview of some of the key issues from the submissions. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. I think my role, as Ms. Kobina has indicated, is basically to take you through the presentation. The way it is structured, and I think currently as you have the copies, you'll see, I think that on page slide 2, you have the presentation outline, which talks about the background, the context, the development process, and then the public participation. And I think I want to take what the chairperson has said, that we should start with rather the content, and then go back into what the comments that we have received, basically looking at the summary of the key issues. So I'll quickly just talk about the background, the context of the NWMS, and then I will skip to slide 12, which basically talks about the contents of the strategy, which is the goals and the targets that are in the strategy. I'll talk from slide 12 all the way to slide 15. And then go back to the development process, because that outlines the process that we have followed, who have been involved in the development process, and then talk about some of the issues that we had to deal with as we developed the strategy. Okay, I'll try to indicate where I am, even as we go through the presentation. First, I'll start with the background. I think all of us will recall that the Waste Act was approved by government, and it came into effect in July 2009. And from the Waste Act, in Chapter 2, Section 6, the minister is required to establish the National Waste Management Strategy within 2 years of that section coming into effect, basically meaning that before the as soon as the Act comes into effect. That meant that by 2011 we needed to have established the National Waste Management Strategy. The purpose of the strategy is basically to achieve the objectives of the Act, and this is as outlined in the Waste Act itself. And how, the approach that we have taken is to make sure that we develop a government-wide strategy that basically includes, as we know, that there are the government departments and there are the industry sectors that are involved with waste management. We made sure that we developed a strategy that would encompass everybody. The Act also requires that the strategy should be reviewed at periods not exceeding 5 years. So basically each and every 5 years the strategy should be reviewed. And the way we have developed it is that it will be implemented through an action plan. We have identified the different activities that need to be undertaken, and we also have identified the responsible parties for the implementation of those actions. Now, in our development of the strategy, we had to establish a context where the strategy should sit. First of all, we know that in South Africa we have urbanization, we have high rates of unemployment, we have population growth, and that has an impact with regards to future waste trends and waste services provision. During our development, we also looked into research, and what we have established is that there is an approximately 10 billion rand per annum that is spent within this sector. And having looked at those two aspects, basically those underline the importance of waste minimization strategies, because we have population growth, urbanization that increases the waste generation. So we need to look into the strategies to make sure that we minimize waste. And as well, it also highlights the economic potential of the waste sector. waste collection and recycling industries, they make a large contribution to job creation and the GDP in the country, with certainly a potential to expand to the bit further. One thing that we needed to make sure, from us as environmental practitioners, we needed to make sure that we integrate the objectives of environmental sustainability and achievement of waste management hierarchy with the broader transformation and development objectives of improved public health, economic development, and poverty alleviation, as those are the broader government objectives and targets. I think now I'll skip to slide number 12, basically just to talk about what is in the strategy itself, and then we'll get back to the process that we have followed. The National Waste Management...
Just hang on, let me just look in. So these are your the summary of the key issues of your
public participation. Correct. Yes.
No. You can do that. What I understood the DDG to say is that she was going to do a summary of the other submissions that the departments had made. That I said should be at the end.
Okay.
I didn't mean this must be at the end.
Okay.
So you can continue with your input.
Okay. So then we go back to slide.
So at the end you can just say. Other departments, so that when those departments come, we at least know what they've raised.
Okay.
So you go on with your input, like it.
Thank you, Chair. I think then we're starting again from slide number 5, so that everybody is together with us. We're looking at the development process that we have followed when we drafted the National Waste Management Strategy. We had 4 phases. The first one was the inspection phase, and we started that in March to May 2009. Basically, then we developed a framework basically that outlined the approach that we'll follow with regard to how we're going to develop the strategy. And after we have developed the framework, we also consulted with stakeholders, and something that we did, We started an online consultation process that was via the website. Every chapter that we developed, we put it on website so we can be able to solicit comments from different stakeholders. The second phase was the baseline research phase that we did from June to September 2009. And at the end of that process, we had a research conference where we invited different stakeholders again to come and give us input with regards to the research findings that our researchers had found. Just to indicate some of the 5 research areas that we looked at was with regards to regulations, compliance and enforcement, macroeconomic within the waste management. We looked at waste information. We looked at governance and planning. And we also looked at producer responsibility. We moved to the third phase, which was basically the strategy formulation. This is after the research conference, and we assimilated all the comments that we have received. We came up with a synthesis paper, basically, that summarized all the key issues. We again consulted different stakeholders, got comments, and then we moved then into the drafting of the first draft of the strategy. And immediately after that, we moved into the fourth phase, which was the last one, which was consultation and the finalization of the strategy. That started basically in June 2010 to about May last year. The strategy was published on a government gazette for 60 days on June the 10th. Immediately after that, we had workshops with stakeholders in all the 9 provinces. We assimilated all the comments, and that resulted in the final draft of the strategy. The strategy had to go through the cabinet processes. It went through the social cluster. It was approved by cabinet in November 2011, and just recently it was published by the Minister for Implementation now in May 2012. Some of the stakeholders that we interacted with regards to the public participation process. First of all, we established a project steering committee consisting of government departments, and some of our colleagues here were where their government departments were represented. We had the Department of Water Affairs, we had the Department of Cooperative Governance, we had the Department of Health represented. We had municipalities, we had SALDA, a colleague from SALDA here, they were represented as well in the steering committee. We had business represented by Business Unity South Africa. We had labor represented by COSATU, NGOs, groundwork, I see they have made a submission. They were part of the steering committee. We had the Institute of Waste Management in South Africa. We had research institutions, the CSIR was represented in the steering committee. And I mean, with the consultation process that we followed, we had lots of workshops. First of all, as I indicated, around the country in all 9 provinces, we were working with our provincial departments of environment colleagues, arranging these workshops and making sure that we get the right stakeholders to all these workshops. We also had sectoral workshops with, for example, local authorities. We had, I mean, this were specific where we invited all the local authorities, went around the country to make sure that their issues are raised and we understand their issues. We, through the assistance of COSATU as well, I mean, they identified some of the labor organizations that we needed to engage with. We had a workshop with organized labor. We had workshops with business, with NGOs, with recyclers. We also have bilateral engagement with key national departments. This basically was to make sure that all the policy issues are ironed out. Now I'm going to move into the summary of the key issues that were raised during this consultation process. I think the first one is the definition of waste and related concepts, and I think members would have seen as well that even the submissions that have been brought forward, I think majority of them still looks at the definition of waste. Now, how the Waste Act defines waste, it says waste means any substance, whether or not that substance can be reduced, reused, recycled, and recovered, that is surplus, unwanted, rejected, discarded, abandoned, or disposed of, B, which the generator has no further use of for the purposes of production, C, that must be treated or disposed, or the minister can identify any substance to be a waste through a notice in a gazette. And during the development of the Waste Act, I mean, I think specifically from recyclers, they told us several times that there is a point when waste ceases to be waste. And in the Act, we had, in the definition of the Act, we had to put that exclusion. That's why as soon as we finish the defining waste, then we say, but number Roman figure one, a byproduct is not considered waste. They felt like if we don't exclusively say that, byproducts will be defined as waste. And as well, we needed to say that any portion of waste, once reused, recycled, and recovered, ceases to be waste. Now, with all the comments that we received and the interactions with different stakeholders, with a lot of confusion with regard to the definition of waste, we needed, as a department, we came up with an interpretation of the department's definition of waste, because the questions were always asked, when does waste cease to be waste, and what is waste? So we developed an interpretation guide that basically tried to explain to our stakeholders when waste ceases to be waste. And I think from the definition in the exclusion where we say once it has gone through reuse, recycling, or recovery, it's only then that it ceases to be waste. Some of the points to consider with regards to our interpretation, we have said that the byproduct as defined in the Waste Act is not a waste. And in our interpretation, we talk about what are the characteristics of a byproduct. If you still need to process what you call a byproduct, our definition of byproduct does not say that is a byproduct. The byproduct is not supposed to be processed. You can be able to take it from the end of your process and use it in another process without having processed it. The next one is when it ceases to be waste. I think the mistake that we made in the definition is that in the Roman figure 2, we had used the word end. when we said any portion of waste, once reused, recycled, and recovered, this is to be waste. That read
I picked that up immediately, by the way. I've got circles around those. So what did you do about that?
I think just to indicate, we have identified that that's a problem, and we have accepted with stakeholders. We have started a process where we're looking into all these problematic areas in the Waste Act, and we are proposing that we are going to amend the Waste Act to make sure that such errors are rectified. So we will, I mean, again, with regards to the definition of waste, there are a lot of comments that have come through even now. What we're going to say is that we will look through all these comments that are related to the Waste Act during that proposed amendment process.
Is mining included, mining waste, under waste?
Mining waste is the definition encompasses that. But the application of the Act excludes mineral deposits and stockpiles.
If it's in the definition, because someone made this point in one of our hearings, so I'm just trying to understand if it's, I see it's in the definition, that's what I'm trying to say, is mining, how does it get excluded if it's part of the definition?
We have, the exclusion says that it's as far as dealt with by the MPRDA.
Sorry?
If the exclusion is as far as the mining residues and stockpiles are dealt with through the MPRDA. So we couldn't cover those because they were covered by another legislation.
Now I'm trying to say it's in your definition. Mining waste is included in the definition of waste.
Correct.
Now where does it exclude mining? But it's still part of the definition. And how does that work legally?
I'm
just trying to understand, you know, you understand it, I don't. So I'm just trying to understand, if it's part of the definition, how is it excluded?
One thing that the Waste Act was trying to achieve, obviously different pieces of legislation in the country tried dealing with waste. For an example, I mean, in the Waste Act we have, I think, about 3 exclusions. All those are defined.
In the Act,
yes, Section 4.
Yeah.
Is the application of the Waste Act.
So you put it in the definition and then you go and exclude it under Section 4.
Yes, Chair.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a funny way of dealing with it. Radioactive waste, residue deposits under the Mineral Petroleum Explosives Act, and the disposal of animal carcasses. So those 4 are excluded.
I excluded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that definition should then be changed. But okay.
Okay.
I've got it now.
The second issue that we've always struggled with stakeholders with regards to the definition and when something becomes waste is the issue of the value. A lot of stakeholders say something that has value cannot be defined as waste, and our answer is that no. It may have value and it still remains waste. I think some members will remember that during the development of the Waste Act, again, it was during the public hearings, we had Metal Recycling Association coming and asking Parliament to exclude scrap metal from the definition of waste, and that was not granted. We said we acknowledge that it has value, but we still define it as waste. So the fact that waste has value does not, or a substance has value does not stop it from being a waste. The second issue that we dealt with during stakeholder consultation was the issue of the implementation.
So this explanation you've done in the strategy, so the definition remains the same, but you've now explained what you think it means.
In the strategy, we have referred to the guideline document. We have developed a separate guideline document. In the strategy, we refer to that.
Where is the guideline document?
I don't think you have it, Chair. We can make.
But you guys must learn. How long have I been Chair now? How long? Since 2010. You guys must learn. You come here, you make reference to a guideline, you expect us to guess what the guideline is. You guys must learn. You bring that guideline with you, give it to us, you make it part of the documentation.
Get it today.
Okay?
Okay. The second issue that we needed to deal with was the implementation of the waste hierarchy. I think specifically the question was the role of municipalities. The hierarchy obviously talks about the reduction, the reuse, the recycling, and the recovery of waste even before we get to disposal. And the issue was that municipalities' role is refuse removal and disposal. So they did not see their role with regards to the implementation of the hierarchy, where they had to talk about, where they had to look into recycling, the reduction of waste, and the reuse of waste. And we engaged with them together with SALGA to make sure that what we expect their role to be when they collect waste, they can contribute to recycling by making sure that the waste that is collected is separated, and that as well. We spoke to that. I think ultimately it was accepted that when they collect waste, they'll start looking at the issues of separation itself to make sure that the recyclables are separated, and in that way they will be contributing to recycling and the implementation of the waste management hierarchy.
Now, how did you deal with this issue? Do you have something in the strategy to deal with this? Or is it just a discussion? You're identifying issues that arose when you drafted. Now, it's important that you tell us, like the previous one, there's a guideline so that we know when we go and look for the answer in the guideline. So each of these issues, you must tell us what you've done. If you've done something in the strategy, just say, well, we'll deal with it later in the strategy.
Okay. In the strategy, we refer, again, apologies that we did not bring the document, and I'm just going to mention it. We drafted norms and standards for the collection of domestic waste. The strategy refers to those norms and standards. And
so that's how you deal with this issue?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I hope someone is collecting all these documents.
Chair,
how do we participate in these hearings if we haven't got these documents?
Okay, Chair, we actually have brought this document. We will circulate. We have put all the Waste Act related documents in one. We will give to all the members as one. So the norms and standards that I just spoke about, they are part of this document. The next issue was, I think, an issue with regards to waste to energy and incineration. Some stakeholders were opposed to incineration technologies and wanted them banned. This started again, some honorable members will remember during the development of the Waste Act that, for example, incineration technologies should have been banned even during the development of the Waste Act. And what we said that through the Act and the strategy, we do not prescribe what technologies should be used in handling waste. What we want is compliance with the conditions of the authorizations. All these technologies, all these waste management activities, they apply to be authorized, and they are given conditions, and through those conditions they must comply with what the environmental requirements of the department. And I mean, during the discussion when we're developing the Waste Act, and again during the development of the National Waste Management Strategy, we have said that there are specific waste streams that unfortunately currently in the country still need to be dealt with through incineration. For an example, anatomical waste. So in the and one of the other things is that with regards to the recyclable waste, we must make sure that the people who reuse and recycle waste should get priority with regards to the waste even before it goes to recovery, and that is exactly what we have accepted. That's what we do. The people who deal with waste as their businesses are prioritized even before they get to recovery. I think this is the last issue, is on remediation of contaminated land.
Sorry, just explain to me, so you haven't dealt with this issue that's arisen anywhere, because you already set out in your authorization what are the conditions and then they must comply with it. Is that what you're saying? Or did you deal with it somewhere?
I think we have indicated when dealing with the stakeholders that in our environmental authorizations, they are required to comply. So it's dealt with through environmental authorizations.
So you didn't do anything further? There's no norm or something or standards or guidelines?
No, from the waste section, there is nothing that we have done, because it's covered through. I mean, non-compliance with those conditions is an offense.
Okay.
The next issue is the remediation of contaminated land. One of the issues that we have always struggled with is with regards to the application of the clauses on contaminated land. This is not ineffective yet because we have just drafted norms and standards and regulations which was published for comment, and the strategy refers to those as well. So we still are in the process of finalizing those norms and standards and regulations after we have received comment.
Where is our copy?
I don't think we have made that available. We'll organize a copy before the end of today. The draft, this will be the draft nonsense.
Yeah, the draft. Why doesn't Parliament get it?
Okay.
The guys have to learn in the department. We're left out of the loop all the time. We have to catch up every time.
We will organize the draft, honorable members. The biggest issue with regard to remediation of contamination.
Let's just finish this point for once and for all. Ms. Kobena, get some of your staff to go away, and every document, I see I have got a file here that someone has done for me. There's a white paper, for example. There's no white paper. There's a piece of legislation. Okay, there's legislation in this book. There's these different guidelines, and get the whole package so we can get Seleka to give the members the whole package, okay? So that we can, you know, properly participate in this debate. We can't participate. I mean, some members are old members, yeah, they may have all these things in their back pocket. But I definitely don't have it in my back pocket. I don't. So you guys must learn. When you come here, you bring the whole, like the legislative framework, here's a strategy we discuss. You bring all those documents, give it to us up front so that people can prepare for it. Okay? So let someone do that for us, all the things. I mean, I imagine there's a lot of it in here now. Okay, that's fine. But what isn't in here, let's get the copies. And
yeah, so what is in here is the public stuff. So what we do now is just get copies of all the ones that I'm
trying to do. Like that one that's in process of being drafted. Let's look at it. Maybe one of the members here is, I mean, I know Ms. Wenger is in local government. She knows waste and things. She may have good ideas, which are not in the document. The white paper. I mean, let people have that white paper. I mean, all this should be flowing from the white paper after all. Okay, let's leave that point then. Okay, you go on with your input. What did you say about contaminated land? Is this these norms, are these the regulations you've drafted?
Yes, these regulations and norms and standards.
What is the underlying point here? What is it we're doing in the norms and standards?
Well, the norms and standards basically sets the standards for remediation. If land has been contaminated, we identify the possible land uses of that and what quality should it be remediated to. Basically, that's the...
So anywhere where there was a landfill site, you say, well, to remediate this, you have to do the following.
Correct.
To get it to this standard.
To this level.
That's what the regulations are that's being commented on.
This is the norms and standards, yes. The issue with, again, with remediation of contaminated land was where we will not be able to identify the owners of the land, because now in the remediation of contaminated land, we're saying the polluter pays. And then the question is, where land has been abandoned and is polluted or contaminated, who is going to remediate that land? And we are exploring together with the National Treasury, we've indicated this in the strategy, the establishment of a remediation fund where we will be able to remediate the land. We'll have a fund as government to be able to take care of the contaminated land where we are not able to trace down the owner or the polluter of that land. So, I mean, in the development of the strategy, this happened during the bilateral engagement with National Treasury. What they have asked us, obviously, is to try to establish first the extent of the problem, and this is what we'll be doing to make sure that we look into identifying land that is contaminated in the country and see if we can be able to identify who the polluters are and how much land after that is contaminated and we are not able to identify.
So you're doing an audit of that at the moment?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Those are basically the summary of the key issues, and I think the next 5 slides basically summarizes the goals and the targets that are in the strategy document itself. The strategy is structured around 8 goals. The first one is promote waste minimization, reuse, recycling and recovery of waste with a target of 25% of recyclables diverted from sites, from landfill sites to make sure that it goes to reuse, recycling and recovery. And the next one is to make sure that all metropolitan municipalities, secondary cities and large towns have initiated the separation at source programs to make sure that these recyclables are diverted from going to landfill. Goal number two is to ensure the effective and efficient delivery of waste services with the targets of 95% of urban households and 75% of rural households have access to adequate levels of waste collection services. The next one is to make sure that the currently unpermitted land disposal sites, we move the target to 80% by basically 2016. Goal number three is to grow the contribution of the waste sector to the green economy with the target of 69,000 new jobs created in the waste sector, 2,600 additional SMEs and cooperatives participating in waste services delivery and recycling. The question has always been how are we going to do this. There is a big gap with regards to households in the country that do not receive the service, so we see a big potential there of getting a labor-intensive model.
So, I mean, these targets, you've not... The target you set is like 75% for rural and this and that and the other. So you don't set an ultimate target. In other words, you may reach by 2015, you may reach 80, but by when do we want to reach 100? Don't you do that in the strategy?
Well, I think the way we drafted this one, Honorable Chair, was specifically just for the first 5 years. And as we review, and this is the comment, one of the comments that we have received on the horizon of the strategy. So this one was specific just for the.
But that's weak. That's weak. I must tell you that week. It's fine to do it for 5 years. But the problem is if you don't set a target and you don't get government to buy into that target and adopt it in cabinet, then the sand, it's like quicksand. It shifts after 5 years. There may be other priorities and so on, and then we may go in another direction. We may get down this. I mean, I prefer much more to say, okay, in 5 years we'll get 75%, but our target for the other 25% is X, so that we know what we're going for. But we'll delve into that more. Well, the way you've done it, you've just done it a target for the next 5 years. Okay.
Okay. The next goal number four, is to ensure that people are aware of the impact of waste on their health, well-being, and the environment. The target is 80% of municipalities running local awareness campaigns and 80% of schools implementing waste awareness programs. Goal 5 is achieve integrated waste management planning with the target of all municipalities have integrated their IWMPs with their IDPs and have met the target set in their IWMPs. This is the requirement of the Waste Act to make sure that IWMPs are integrated with IDPs. The next target is all waste management facilities required to report to the South African Waste Information have quantification systems that report to the waste information system. Goal number six is to ensure sound budgeting and financial management for waste services. This is one of the biggest weaknesses with regards to waste management or waste services in the country. And the target for that is for all municipalities that provide waste services to conduct full cost accounting for waste services and have implemented cost reflective tariffs. And we have done a few other things with regards to making sure we're finalizing a guideline to assist the municipalities to be able to do that. Goal 7 provides measures to remediate contaminated land, and the target is assessment complete for 80% of sites reported to the contaminated land register, as I indicated. We are now basically, we'll be looking at what is contaminated and we'll make sure that by 2016, 80% of the assessment of those lands are done. And then there are remediation plans that are approved for 50% of confirmed sites. The last goal is the establishment of effective compliance with and enforcement of the Waste Act. The target is 50% increase in the number of successful enforcement actions against non-compliant activities, and to make sure that 800 EMRs, that's environmental management inspectors, are appointed in the 3 spheres of government to enforce the Waste Act. And I mean, how we working with regards to that is today, there are, in many municipalities, you already have EHPs that could just be trained to be EMI environmental health practitioners, that's EHPs. I mean, they enforce the Health Act legislation. And we say those could be capacitated with the environmental management inspector courses to make sure that all, as well, they're designated to be environmental management inspectors. That will help us to achieve the goal of 800 EMIs quicker. That honourable members and colleagues.
But now, who, you see, you set these goals and targets, but whose responsibility are they? Have you said that in the strategy?
It is. At the end, there is an annex one that has this, it's an action plan that identifies all these actions, who is responsible for making sure that they happen, and the time frames. I think it's towards the end in the strategy document itself.
Now, the only issue you've dealt with from the strategy, the other stuff is prior to the strategy, is the goal and target. So I haven't read the strategy. Are you saying to me that the strategy has only got the goals and targets and there's nothing else?
Well, this is the framework for the strategy. And the strategy basically looks into, it says the 8 goals and say, what are we going to do as a nation for the next
But I'm asking you, the question I'm asking you is, this document's quite thick.
Yeah.
And all that you've told us is in it are the goals and strategy, goal and target. Is that all that's in the document?
No.
Now, what else is there that you're not telling me that you're hiding away from me? And why are you hiding it away from me?
So I am not hiding anything. Let me say, at the beginning, the strategy, one of the questions that we have received, this is during the development of the Act itself, we have tools in the strategy, and we can lift waste management activities that require authorization before they go on. We can develop norms and standards. We can declare certain waste to be priority waste. We can request industry to implement extended producer responsibility mechanism. So those are the tools that we have in the Act. In the strategy, we outline those tools, and what is important is when would we implement or use one of the tools to be able to deal with any waste stream. For example, I mean, right now, almost many of the waste activities in the country are dealt with through authorization. So there are a listed activity that needs to apply to get an authorization in the department.
So that framework you put in the document, but that already exists. So the only thing that is extra that we need to worry about are the goals and targets. Is that what you're saying?
Not that it's the only thing that we need to worry about. I mean, I think as well you
No. The only thing we have to worry about is the strategy. Because what I'm hearing you say is there's already a legal framework. There are already norms and standards. So that is all there. You don't have to explain that in the strategy. That exists. What you have to do in the strategy is to say, well, all this legal framework is there. How is it going to come into being? And for that you have to set the goals and targets.
Correct, yes.
And so the goals and targets are really the heart of the strategy, because it gives practical effect to, this is the legal framework now, this is what you have to achieve through the legal framework. Is that what you're saying?
Correct, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, anything else?
That is all for me.
Okay, members, there we are. Obviously, you need to read a lot behind it, because you need to understand the Act and all these norms and standards, because a lot of the problems that have arisen during the consultation, they've dealt with through norms and standards, through guideline documents and so on. So in the end of the day, it's all these goals and targets. And then you have to look at this action plan right at the end of the document on page 68. is the action plan to say we'll be responsible for all these goals and targets. Okay, Mr. Matebe.
You are talking about...
Okay. Sorry, the one?
That you said page 68.
Yeah, of the strategy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think you have partly covered me. My concern was also on the target. Because to me, municipalities are central to achieving these targets. And if my mind still serves me well, late last year, we had a workshop in Polokwane, if not the beginning of this year, where more than 80% of the municipalities expressed lack of understanding of waste management issues. They were actually happy to be invited to that workshop. They even called for the department to come down to their municipalities to help them establish waste management units in their different municipalities. Now to say you want 80% of those municipalities to really deliver on waste management issues, I was really a bit skeptical to say, but how do you think you will achieve this and by when? Because these people are still not have, they don't have that much information about waste management issues. They still want to learn. So when you speak of 80%, I was wondering, maybe in 10 years' time or what? So I think you must come up with practical issues here. To say, we are going to do this to the municipalities so that we achieve this target by year so and so. And also this issue of schools. Because then you want schools to implement waste awareness programs. Have you interacted with the Department of Education on this issue? If yes, when do you think this will start? Again, you spoke of 10 billion budget. Estimate. Is this the money that the department will spend, or do you also include the money that the municipalities must raise on their own? If you expect municipalities to raise them, how? Because most of them are not providing this waste collection services. For instance, in my own municipality, Elias Muswaledi, in Skukune district, waste collection is only done in town of Rowelda. Even the surrounding townships, they don't have access to this service, let alone the rural villages. So how are they going to raise this money? That you say you're estimating it to be something like 10 billion. So if you can clarify those issues, maybe we'll understand what you're saying.
Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Wenger.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add on to what my colleague has mentioned, I think the reality needs to be faced here, and I think the document is very nice and very comprehensive. However, I find that it's, again, that bias and skewed view towards metro-centric and city friendly. It ignores rural areas to a great extent because the problem we'll be facing is in the rural areas where there is the lack of access of the information and implementation of what needs to be done. Now, if we're looking at cost effectiveness of it all, it's exactly in those areas where your cost effectiveness is not going to work because that is where your cost factor is going to rise substantially because of the size of the areas. And I think that's something that needs to be looked at. Also, separation at source you're referring to. Now, once that has been completed and done, what happens? It stops right there. I have seen it over and over and over again in rural areas when once the separation has occurred, It's left out there to rot, and attract rats, and carry on doing all sorts of things there, and it gets, again, spread all over the show, the wind blows and everything else, because there is no centres where that separated waste can be transported to. I think it's very silent on that. Your targets, when we look at, also you are not mentioning from what to what. What is your present percentage? And with an escalation, how you want to increase that escalation? In other words, obviously from 20% to 30% or 40%, and it's got to be gradual in order to implement it correctly and effectively. What also concerns me is the contaminated sites that are there at the moment. Because at the time when that material was dumped, some of it may have been with permission, others may not have been with permission. But those that were done with permission and monies were paid to dump, it was done according to, legally at the time. Now you're going to go back to those people and say, hang on a minute, what you've done is illegal. But meantime, the people that have dumped on those sites have already paid and have given permission to dump. What happens in a situation like that? Has that been addressed, and how many of those kind of sites do you have? Thanks.
Mr. Morgan.
Thanks very much. I also remain generally skeptical of the ability of local government in order to develop the required waste management strategies and then, of course, to implement those strategies. I'm aware that the Department of Environmental Affairs has previously worked on some costs for what this would cost. I remember when we worked on this piece of legislation back in 2008, I was one of the members who was on that committee at the time. The costs of the waste bill were astronomical. And it's all fine and good having targets, and yes, we must achieve these. I have no problem with that. I'm a big supporter of the Waste Act. But I'm not convinced the vast majority of municipalities have the ability to do that. This committee has applied its mind quite extensively over recent time about the abilities of municipalities just in the water sector. And, you know, we've been briefed over and over again by water boards and the department itself about the inability of many municipalities to handle even the most basic of functions. A particular problem being that monies aren't allocated to these four functions. And this committee has previously expressed various views to the Treasury about the need to specifically allocate parts of, for example, the agricultural share towards certain functions. Now, to what extent have you applied your mind to the very real problem of municipalities being able to, in fact, do this? Beyond available resources, I suspect we're now going to discover, and I'm sure you would have done some work on this, that municipalities don't actually have the skills to do it, the human resources to do it. We know that that in the water sector, many of them are lacking those human resources. And we probably aren't as aware of what is happening in the local government sector with regards to that. So I see the human resource problem as well. So if you could give us some assurances and, you know, what support is being offered to municipalities and indeed what interactions are happening with Treasury about this. I mean, for example, in your opinion, does Treasury regard this as in any way a priority at the moment? I'm sure the members of this committee would regard it as a priority. I'm not convinced Treasury regards this as a priority, considering the vast number of competing needs in South Africa that are, you know, calling for appropriations from the Treasury. Then with regards to the contaminated land, I remember this being a controversial area of the bill when it was being processed. Can you give us some comments on your interaction with the banking sector on the issue of contaminated land? One of the issues with regards to this area was that the banking sector raised a number of concerns concerns about the provision with regard to contaminated land, because actually a significant percentage, if the majority of land in South Africa, is actually owned by the banking sector, with people paying off mortgages. And the banking sector, hence, is technically in possession of large areas of land in South Africa which are contaminated, for which they provided bonds on contaminated land prior to the promulgation of this particular piece of legislation. And in the current economic climate, with many people being unable to keep their businesses going, or even private property, their homes, and foreclosures happen, you can contemplate situations where, in fact, the banks are left with properties where, when you include the cost of remediation of that land, they cannot actually recoup the value of the outstanding debt of that land owned by whether it be the private sector or individuals. So can you talk us through your current thinking on contaminated land as it relates to the banking sector in South Africa? To what extent have you engaged with them? What has been their response? And what, if any, are the existing concerns around that the particular area? And I guess in going forward, have you seen any progress from the banking sector with regards to actually costing in the cost of the remediation of contaminated land when approving bonds nowadays, knowing in fact that land is going to have to be remediated at some time? My last question is perhaps a little bit specific. It did, however, pop up in your PowerPoint presentation, and that is with regards particularly to the healthcare risk waste sector. And you made some comments about incineration. I remember working on the part of the bill, and if I'm not mistaken, we wrote into the bill that when it comes to regulations around incineration, we wanted it to come back to Parliament. It is our way of legislating, of just providing increased oversight over this particular form of technology, for which we know there is some angst from certain sectors of society. But with regards to healthcare risk waste in particular, let me ask you a specific question. I cannot understand why, and it's a question I'll ask the Department of Health as well. I cannot yet understand why, with the advances in technology in the healthcare risk waste sector, among other things, hydroplasma, why we don't yet allow alternative treatment healthcare risk waste as it relates to human body parts, I forget the term. So not the general waste. What's it called again? Anatomical waste, sorry, thank you. Anatomical waste, as it relates to anatomical waste. Why we haven't actually moved yet in the direction. Notwithstanding, and I accept the point, that there are certain cultural considerations, and I understand and expect that. I don't understand why we haven't got some kind of, whether it be opt-in or opt-out, with regard to the alternative treatment of anatomical waste in South Africa. It is perfectly possible and safe, in my opinion, and from what I have read and the stakeholders that I've consulted with, to be able to treat healthcare with waste, neutralize it, and to shred it, and to, on an appropriately permitted landfill site, to dispose of that treated anatomical waste. And it would seem to me to be one way to lessen the amount of incineration, and two, to deal with the perpetual problem in the healthcare risk waste sector, and that is the tracking of healthcare risk of anatomical waste across provincial boundaries. I've always had a problem that treatment facilities, which I accept are predominantly run by the private sector, are not distributed across the country. I understand you require economies of scale in order to run these operations, but in my own province, for example, of KwaZulu-Natal, we don't treat anatomical waste. We ship it to wherever, Bloemfontein or Gauteng, in order to be treated. And there are, I mean, I understand that there isn't an overall capacity problem in the healthcare risk waste sector, but there are localized pricing when, for example, treatment facilities go down. So it would seem to me that embracing latest technology, that's non-earth, would seem the logical thing to do in South Africa. So please speak me through this about why we persist in South Africa to only use incineration for anatomical waste. I would appreciate that because I think the situation is ripe for some advancement in this particular sector that is both good for the environment and will allow waste, anatomical waste, to be treated in more parts of South Africa. I thank you, Chair.
Dr. Huang? Thank you, Chairperson. I think from the presentation, some of the key issues I still have the problem. You say you want the government get a fund from this remediate open site. I don't know how you can get this fund from this remediate site, open site. How government can get it from this fund? And this open site is including for the contaminated site or not. Because this one you say is already confirmed for 50%, already confirmed for this site is contaminated. So I'd like to know this one. Also, you make a proposal, want to get the funding, establish this fund, remediate the fund from the National Trail site. I don't know how much you will be a request, then you can establish this remediate fund, how much you want. Because for your total expenditure already, you budget about 10 billion rand. So I'd like to know this one, is including the inside of 10 billion or not. And you say it's 80% of the waste disposal site is have the permit. What is the other 20% is haven't got a permit? What do you deal with this? Also, you say it's 69,000 new jobs is created in the waste sector. I don't know. This one is 69,000 new jobs is for the 2012 or 2013 or 14 or the 2011, this financial year is a job creation. So this detail, you didn't mention for the quite clear. Also, this, you say it's 80% is the municipality is running a local awareness campaign. I didn't see the, even in the, my case in this Northern case, I didn't see the local municipality have this campaign. I didn't see how you deal with this campaign to the, even the, I think the Saga today is here. We also like to hear from the Saga side, can say some for this campaign issue. So I'm more concerned for the this your remediation this funding, yeah, because this one is
you say where be used in the this abandon for the this contaminated site, contaminated site. How you use this this part of the, to the this abandoned site? I want to know is how you can approve, because you already come home 50%. Then at least this detail, I'd like to, if you can, more clear for us. Thank you.
Ms. Mangania.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, they have already covered me in some of the issue, Honorable Morgan, for the bank. I want to, because I arrived before you started, I want to know this strategy that we are having. Is this including everybody in the country? Why I'm saying this specifically, I want to know about the mine. What are we saying about the mine? I didn't get it clear because I arrived. So I want to know.
We raised it already.
Yeah.
Well, they'll answer it again.
Yeah, they must answer because I was not there. I'm from the mines. I want to know what they say about the waste at the mines.
The committee excluded mines from waste in the Act. Excluded it. Section 4 of the Act excludes all the mining waste. So that's the answer. So everything they're dealing with here is not mine waste. The Department of Mines deals with mine waste.
That is one of the challenge. If somebody will deal there in the corner, that is the challenge that we are having. That's why I was asking. I thought at least we will do something that they have got something to bite. I think really doesn't represent us at the rural area. It means we must do the smaller
Yanakuma. I'll read something to you now when you finish, Mr. McCabe. Sorry, let me just take, you've had a chance, let me just take Zile, then I'll come back to you, Mr. McCabe.
Yes, thank you, Chair. In the rural areas, the waste is illegally dumped on the landfills, near households, especially in the medical waste, which is a very common waste in mostly rural areas. The waste is also usually bent down, not recycled, because of the absence of recycling infrastructure, which is which enables the separation of waste at sources. So my question is whether do you have considered the establishment of the recycling facilities, especially in the municipalities that are in rural areas. And in the informal settlement. Thank you.
Mr. McCabe.
Chair, I'm still of the view that even if we have excluded the mines, but is there no any other way to can convince them to fund some of your programs? Because to me, they are the main contributor to waste. There's no way that we can interact with them, even if they are not included. The other issue is that of Buisa Ipex. You have disestablished it, and of course I agree with your reasons, because it was not run professionally. But in light of this ambitious wage strategy, haven't you thought of establishing something similar to that with better financial controls? Thank you.
On the mine, this was in the newspaper recently. Mining license system reviewed. The Department of Mineral Resources is intended to work with the Department of Water and Environment to review the regulatory framework for the awarding of authorization required by mining firms to commence operations, the Minister Shabangu said yesterday. Speaking at the lawns of blah, 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 Shabangu acknowledged that an uneven regulatory and mining system was impeding investments resulting in mines starting to operate without regulatory authorization. This is caused by the fact that the current time frames for obtaining a mining right, water use license, and environmental authorization are not aligned which results in prolonged processes and unnecessary delays. That still doesn't deal with the waste issue, but at least what this shows is the things we've been raising about mining is also firmly now on the mining minister's agenda. So I think it's important that we follow this up. But they can still answer that question if they... All right, we've run out of time, so let's have nice, crisp answers to those whole lot of questions, please.
Thank you, Chair. I will begin by addressing some of the issues. I think, let me start with the issues around capacity for municipalities. We are aware that municipalities have challenges in relation to implementation of some of the targets that are in the strategy. We have had numerous engagements with municipalities, SALDA, Treasury, COPTA, around this particular matter. On the issue of costs and how municipalities can afford to implement some of these programs, in the deliberations that we've had with National Treasury, as you know, as difficult as they may have been, we have had some successes. When we were developing the policy for provision of basic refuse removal services for indigent communities, we were able to get Treasury to increase allocations for municipalities quite considerably. So the point is that when you present information, facts, to Treasury, Treasury is then willing to consider that information and make necessary adjustments. Now, we're not saying that those adjustments were enough to solve the waste management capacity problems that are in municipality. All I'm saying is that we have seen movement there when we engaged around this particular policy. And we continue to engage Treasury in respect of allocations for municipalities around waste management, or the provisioning of waste management services. I think that what we have been able to express to Treasury is that waste management, or the provisioning of waste services in general, has been an under-priority across government, national government, provincial, and municipalities. And one of the problems that we express very, very clearly in the strategy is the fact that there's an underpricing problem in this country for waste services. Now, of course, we have indigent communities that cannot afford to pay for services, and that's why we developed a policy for them to be provided with free services, as it were. But for the rest of us that can afford to pay for services, we still have municipalities not charging properly for the services that they offer. And part of the reason that doesn't happen is that municipalities are not yet at the point where they can cost services properly. And that is why in the department we have developed a model, a tariff setting model, that we have, and SALDA can confirm, that we have already run training sessions on this model. And that model is meant to help municipalities to show them what the true cost of providing a service is. Because we think that if the municipality understands what it costs them to provide a waste service, they can then, you know, the councils can then make the decision as to whether they want to pass that cost in its entirety to its residents. But our intention in the department is that we say to municipalities, if you have a population of X size and you provide this level of service with this kind of equipment, this is in fact the true cost. And of course, the accounting officers in municipalities or the councils, as it were, must then make the decision as to whether they want to pass on those costs. The other important thing about this tariff model that was developed is that it's going to show municipalities where they are currently subsidizing the waste service from, because there's a lot of subsidization that is happening at the moment. Municipalities are taking a whole lot of money from other services and subsidizing the provisioning of the waste service because at the moment there isn't a cost recovery scheme, as it were, on the waste services. So, and I think in the strategy we mentioned very clearly that until we fix the pricing problem, it's going to be incredibly difficult for municipalities to be able to fund a whole lot of activities that they need to do. So what we're saying is that yes, Treasury has a role, COCTA has a role, we need to work with the allocations, but in some cases it's just the fact that the problems that municipalities experience are just as a result of incorrect pricing. So once we fix the pricing issues, we think that we can go a long way. And we are not, we have hope that Treasury, once you present them with the facts, they are in fact able to make certain adjustments as they have done so in the past. Then on the issue of 80% of municipalities doing awareness campaigns, Honorable, I think, Huang, the 80% that you referred to in the strategy is a target. It is not saying that that is what is currently happening. So it's a target that we will strive towards over the next 5 years. Have we consulted with the Department of Education regarding this? We have a unit in the department. It doesn't sit within the chemicals and waste branch because it services the whole department. It's an education and sector education training, I think, department. Now, what that unit does is it engages on behalf of the department with the Department of Education, and it basically gets input from all the line functions in the department, so that when we go and engage with the Department of Education, we don't just talk about waste, we talk about the whole portfolio, the environmental portfolio. So we have made input into that process, and our colleagues in that unit are engaging. I think they have a program to engage the Department of Education on the school curriculum to include not just waste but other aspects of environmental management.
I think, you know, we're going to go into the detail of each consultation we had. I don't think that's what really we're asking. I think what people are asking is, okay, we know you're in a difficult situation. You have to create a waste strategy. And from the Act, you've now drafted targets and goals. It's not whether some unit in your department goes to the structure with education. The issue is what mechanisms have your department put in place to make sure you're going to make sure that those targets and goals are being met. I think that's really the issue. I mean, more than, you know, I mean, to have an input to say, well, we went to discuss with Department of Education. Well, I mean, which 80% of which schools are going to do it, which 20% are not, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how we're going to meet the 80%. And I think that's what members are, I think you, the bottom of all the questions is really, what mechanisms are we putting in place so that when you come here next year again, I say to you, okay, what has happened? I mean, it's no use saying, but another section of the department is discussing this with education. What are we putting in place to make sure those goals and targets are going to be met? I think that's more the question. All those issues are raised around the targets and goals of other departments.
Okay. All right, Chair. So the 80% was in relation to municipalities running campaigns. In fact, On that specific one, I can tell you exactly what we are doing. I've got with me here a concept document, which I'm certain will come back to Parliament and present. It was done literally last week. This concept document on youth jobs and waste is essentially a model to bring capacity to municipalities. It's got three aspects to it. The one is bringing capacity to municipalities for awareness. We would like to place young people in municipalities to be responsible for environmental awareness. That's the one angle. We would like to place young people in municipalities to be situated in the waste collection department.
You're telling me now what education should be telling me, not you. The question I asked you is, what are you putting in place to make sure that those targets are going to be met? In other words, how are you going to monitor the Department of Education? How are you going to monitor municipalities? I mean, you're now telling me what they're going to come and tell me. All the other departments are now telling me. I don't want to know that now. I don't think anyone of us wants to know. They'll come and tell us what they are going to do that. What are you doing? What have you put in place that you can continuously monitor and see that these targets are being met?
Chair, on the specific issue, this is the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Yeah, but now you're telling me about you want to put kids in the... That's not the answer. You're not going to put kids there and so on. That's not meeting the target. I'm asking what mechanisms... If you haven't got mechanisms, tell us, because then we know that that is what we must work on. So what mechanism are you going to put, have you put in place? What does the strategy say? How are you going to check continuously?
Okay. All right.
How these things are being done by other departments.
I get you, Chair. So in the strategy, there's a part of the strategy that talks to cooperative governance. And it sets out a whole range of structures that are going to be monitoring the different targets. So, for example, on the issue of capacities of municipalities to be able to implement the strategy, a lot of those issues relate to funding. So we have a structure, we have a team, as proposed in the strategy, that would include Treasury, COPTA, ourselves, as Think and Founder, for those sets of issues. And that task team will be meeting to look at implementation of the targets that are related to capacity in municipalities. On the issue, for example, of education, there is another task team that includes the Department of Education that would look at the targets that relate to environmental awareness. On the issue of remediation, contaminated land remediation, once again we've got National Treasury in that team because we've got to get into conversation with them about the provision, the financial provision for remediation. So we have them, I think we have the Department of DMR as well as water in that committee, in that team. So we have a couple of structures that have been set up to look after specific targets.
Okay, go on with it.
Okay, so...
Give me 50 answers. We're far over the time, okay? It's already 20 to 11. We should have been finished already. So give a short and pithy answer.
All right, Chair. On the issue of the 10 billion, whether this was the amount of money that DIA has spent or is going to spend, Honourable Huang, that 10 billion is just an estimate of what the waste sector contribution is to the economy and the potential at the moment. So it is not related to what the department.
Not the budget.
It is not the budget.
It's the amount of money that's generated through waste.
Correct.
So if you are a entrepreneur, as I know you are, Mr. Dr. Huang, this is your space where you can go into. There's 10 billion rand lying around there. It's not the budget. It's the possibility of the kind of money that waste generates, as I understood it. Next one.
All right, then I'm going to let Our colleague from the legal department, who Shabalala, who just deal with the mining waste very, very briefly, because we did touch on it earlier.
I think the only issue, we know the legal position, the only issue is, isn't there something we can do to draw mining waste also in and do something about it? If it isn't, you just say no. If it, we can.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Honourable members and members of the public, just in terms of the current processes, we, at the moment, the department, together with the Department of Mineral Resources, is currently looking at exactly the process with regards to the environmental management issues around mining areas. There are task teams that have been established by the two ministers. The process is mainly driven by the two ministers, Honourable Member, in terms of the what areas of possible amendments should be made with regards to the two legislation that should speak to one another. One of the issues that have been identified is actually the issue of possible amendment relating to waste issues in mining areas, specifically the mine residues, who should be responsible for that. Basically, it's to align the processes with regard to the permit issues. So there is a possibility that this matter should, in terms of moving forward.
So it's on the agenda as well, those discussions.
Yes.
Okay.
So it will, it will eventually come to Parliament.
Okay. Fine. As long as we know, that wasn't part of the Minister's statement. Mining was, waste was left out. So if you're telling us that's also part of it, that's what we want to hear. Next one.
Okay. So then I want to quickly deal with the issue of the remediation fund. So the question was how are we going to afford this, and is it possible, can it happen, and how is it going to happen? So the department has, in fact, already presented to Cabinet a strategy and a remediation plan in respect of asbestos, secondary asbestos contamination in the four provinces in the country where we used to have mining of asbestos. Now, when we were considering the issue of the remediation fund in the development of the strategy, we wanted to build on that, because what we presented to Cabinet was to say that there's this extent of a contamination, asbestos contamination in the country, and of course most of these mines packed up and they left. We now, as government, left with the burden of having to remediate and in fact in some cases possibly resettle communities, even if it's on a temporary basis, in order to remediate. So we approached Cabinet to say we think that there should be financial provisions made for that purpose. So the remediation fund that is being proposed in the strategy would then not just look after areas that are contaminated by asbestos. It would look after all contaminated land in pretty much the same way that the DMR, the Department of Mineral Resources, gets an allocation to deal with contamination, primary contamination within the mines. Because, of course, they can't deal with contamination outside of mining areas. So that is how we envisage this to work, so that we would get a similar allocation to deal with all the contamination that happens outside of the mine. And then I would like Obit to just deal with the medical waste, anatomical waste issue, as well as the banking issue.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. During the development of the Waste Act, I think Honourable Morgan will remember as well that the banking association came and presented, they were requesting that they should be excluded from the, I think, the retrospectivity of the application of those sources in the contaminated land. And during that time, unfortunately, Parliament didn't agree that was the way to be able to deal with it. And I think certainly we instructed to continue working with the Banking Association to see how best they can be able to implement this. And the department, we have had numerous meetings with them, I think, after the presentation and after the approval of the Waste Act. What their issue obviously is that they will hold a lot of land that is contaminated, and as soon as people know that that land is contaminated, the value of that land will drop. And going forward, this is what they said they will have to look into, the issues of due diligence. They have not, unfortunately, done the calculation of what the impact it will be on their loaning system, for example. That they have not presented to us as yet. But we spoke about with them the issues of due diligence to make sure that the people that they loan money to do proper due diligence, and they are aware as well of their requirements with regards to environmental protection, and to make sure that they comply with environmental protection authorizations or standards that they would be given. So with regards to the cost of what impact will that have on their loaning business, they have not presented that to us as yet. The other aspect with regards to healthcare risk waste, I think in the presentation I indicated that we do not necessarily prescribe what technologies should be used to deal with healthcare risk waste, and specifically anatomical waste, because that's the one that we say most of the time, or mostly it's taken to incineration. What we look for
We don't prescribe incineration.
We do not prescribe incineration as well.
So there's a possibility that they can use other technologies.
There is a possibility.
Is that what you said?
That's what I'm saying, yes. So what we want is just the compliance with regards to environmental standards. So we do not prescribe what technologies should be used to deal with any waste stream.
So if I can just add to that, I think the issue with the anatomical waste is that the standards that have been prescribed are, I think we can say that it's quite a high standard. So that is why effectively it's not possible. It's not possible for us to be able to authorize anything other than incineration of anatomical waste. But as a principle, it's both in the Act, I think, and in the strategy.
That can reach those standards.
Correct. Because as a principle, for any treatment of waste, we do not, and we had long conversations in I think, in Parliament about this, because if members will recall that we were, in fact, asked to, in the Act, ban incineration, and again, we advanced the argument to say, if we had to do that, you would then be, you know, stifling innovation, that what we needed to do as a department and what we can get very good at is to set standards. We know that we have the capacity to set standards. We have the capacity to monitor whether those standards are met. We can tell you when the standards are not complied with. So it's easier for us to set a standard. And then we say you can use whatever technology you want to use as long as it meets the standard, whether that standard is a standard for emissions or effluent discharge. If you can meet the standard, we can use any technology. So that is our approach. Thanks.
Okay. Now, I want us to go to the other departments. We're running out of time. What I'll do is if there's time left at the end, we can come back to the department and ask more questions. Okay? It's running late. How can they run late when they have to be at that time? Health. All right, Department of Health, where are you? Where's Health? Okay, welcome. Could you please, we're running out of time, and I can see we're going to run out of time more because there's a lot of interesting issues. Just try and crystallize your input in 5 to 10 minutes, just on the main issues where you have a problem, okay? So don't tell us where you're happy and so on. Just tell us the issues where you think the strategy could be problematic. We can then engage on that, okay? But I'll leave it up to you. Please go ahead. There is a document that they've given us, have you? You've given us a input? You haven't given us the input? Do we have a copy? Do we have a copy? Okay, you can start. Welcome. Start.
you, Chair. Honourable members, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Chair, I'll be very brief in terms of the presentation.
Just lift it up a little bit. I can't hear you nicely. No, no, no. Put it where you're at your mouth level. Yeah, there we are. Then in front of you, yeah. Let's see if that's better. Talk.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Chair, the presentation, if you can please allow me, I'll just quickly go through the presentation. It's very short. It will just look at the purpose of the strategy as it relates to health.
What's it?
Who's
the presenter? Oh. Her name is on the front. She is Anneliswa Tsele.
Apologies. My name is Anneliswa Tsele, Director for Environmental Health, Department of Health.
He struggles reading, so just give him a
chance.
Okay, go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, I think everybody has received the presentation. Okay, thank you. So the purpose of the strategy as it relates to health, the waste management and human rights issues, just touch based on the constitution there. How will the strategy benefit the health department? And then the role of Department of Health and enforcement, and then I'll conclude. As you know that we have contributed extensively in terms of the development of the strategy. It actually gives to the Waste Act, which are to protect the health, well-being and the environment through the sound waste management. The National Waste Management Act is the tool that the Department of Health is able to use to manage waste, especially the healthcare risk waste management issues. Then we all know that the poorly managed waste can actually cause ill health, increase mortality in humans, adversely affect the environment when improperly treated, stored, transported or disposed of. In terms of Section 24, Waste Management and Human Rights, Section 24 of the Constitution says that everyone has a right to an environment that is not harmful to their health or well-being. So the strategy actually takes cognizance of this right. How does the strategy benefit the health system? As we all know, that the Department of Health is a major generator of healthcare risk waste at various levels of healthcare systems in both public and private sectors. These include hospitals, clinics, community health centers, private practitioners, homes, nursing homes, old age homes, and private clinics. So the strategy actually helps us to harmonize the waste management practices across all spheres of government, including the private sector. It also improves waste management by promoting waste minimization, reuse, recycling, and recovery. It also puts emphasis on the segregation of waste. Where we also feel that the strategy helps us because it establishes a committee for environmental coordination in order to create interdepartmental links, whereby where departments can play a critical role where we've got challenges in terms of implementation, every now and then we as departments are able to engage in order to address those issues. It also clarifies institutional arrangements to enhance improved communication between national, provincial and municipalities. Just to touch base in terms of what is our role as the Department of Health. At the national level, we've got a role to set up norms and standards on waste management, advise on appropriate standards relating to the health sector to the Department of Environmental Affairs. We also have to monitor the implementation of these standards at provincial and municipal health level. At the municipal health level, we've got environmental health practitioners which are appointed as environmental management inspectors. Their role is enforcement and compliance, dissemination of information, health education that relates to waste management, and awareness campaigns and programs, ensuring public participation on issues relating to waste management, capacity building, training, and development. Then in terms of the role of EHPs or environmental health practitioners as EMI, I think the first presenter actually touched base on it. We have to ensure the proper storage, treatment, collection, transportation, handling and disposal of medical waste and hazardous waste. Investigation and inspection of any activity that relates to waste streams. Sampling and analyzing any waste. The controlling and the handling of disposal of diseased animals or diseased animals. Ensuring waste management, including auditing of waste management systems and adherence to cradle-to-grave approach. In conclusion, we hope that the implementation of the strategy will contribute to the improved quality of health or quality of life for all South Africans. And in order for us to be able to achieve this, it's very critical that all stakeholders actually do participate and ensure that problems that arise from time to time are actually being addressed through the relevant committees that are existing, that have been established by the strategy. So in terms of the challenges, as I'm indicating, we have been part of the process of development of the strategy. Issues that were raised from the health sector, the strategy has been able to address them.
In the action plan, are there any goals and targets there that health must department must meet? I'm trying to look quickly through here. 71. Yes.
Active integrated waste management planning. Both departments, we have to engage in terms of feasibility study in the development of healthcare risk waste management related. And then also we are engaging in terms of development of policy and regulations that relate to health.
How are those tasks going? Are you going to meet those targets? Are you going to be able to do it soon?
Yes, both departments, as I've indicated, Chair, they have started the process of engaging. And then in terms of, because the challenge that we've had was the fact that you cannot have both departments. We have to separate in terms of responsibilities when it comes to healthcare risk waste, which is one of the way we are engaging in terms of when we are developing regulation, which department will start from which stream to which stream. Like, for instance, what we have proposed is to say for the health department, we have to manage healthcare waste management from the stream as within the health facility. But environmental health affairs will play a critical role when the waste actually leaves the health facility to the outside environment.
So you started working those out and you're starting to draft the regulations and so on?
Yes.
So you, and that's your, the task you have out of this?
Yes. I
wanted to just add, Chair, that we have the Department of Environmental Affairs has a draft regulation on healthcare risk waste that is going to be going out for comment. And we have worked with the Department of Health on that. So that's work that we're collaborating on. And we're meant to have a meeting very soon where we will be preparing for a meeting with Treasury to initiate a PPP process for the treatment, for the feasibility for a regional treatment capacity. Thanks.
Don't forget your portfolio committee when you send that regulation out. Send it, yeah. Mr. Morgan?
Thanks very much, Chair Philson. Healthcare risk waste is a hazardous waste, and therefore we need to treat it very carefully. I think we all agree with that. Now, one of the key problems in the healthcare risk waste sector notwithstanding the issues I've already raised about treatment, I'll move past those for the moment, is in fact the who is awarded these particular tenders. Chairperson, one of the big problems, having followed the sector very closely now for the best part of the last 3 years, is that the treatment facilities aren't, you know, generally geographically spread throughout the country, so there's a lot of movement of waste. And two is it's a pretty cutthroat industry, actually, the healthcare risk waste sector. It is the government healthcare facilities and private healthcare facilities are contracting with private sector service providers in order to treat healthcare risk waste. And some of those players are particularly big, and some of them are small. And the key problem is that they don't actually all have access to treatment facilities. Some of them are awarded contracts without actually having being able to secure sufficient treatment for that waste. In some regards, actually many people who win contracts merely to transport waste, healthcare risk waste. And there are a number of people who have seen the sector as a particularly lucrative sector because of the significant contracts that can be provided and the long-term nature of these contracts. And while I know you're in the national department, the question I put to you is, considering it's a hazardous waste, considering the structure of the sector, to what extent are you working with the provincial departments, who are the actual awarders of these tenders, to ensure that the providers who are awarded tenders are actually fit and capable to be able to carry out the treatment of this highly hazardous waste? I'm aware that in at least three provinces at the moment, there are high court actions against healthcare risk waste tenders. And not just that, and then perhaps a related question, and you can answer it if the Environment Department wanted to as well. To what extent is there capacity to actually be able to review using understanding of the industry and who is capable to bring that into the process, to be a sense in a sense actually be able to do the due diligence on the service providers in the sector? Because recent history shows that there are cases, numerous cases, particularly in the Eastern Cape, but in other provinces as well, where service providers have been given the contract and cannot get access to treatment facilities and then illegally dumped. And the whole issue about healthcare risk waste is that the provider, the creator of the healthcare risk waste, and you are the creator of the healthcare risk waste, you're the originator of it, you are responsible for it until it is treated, appropriately disposed of. And if you are contracting with service providers who cannot perform the function correctly, then health departments in South Africa are ultimately complicit in the inappropriate disposal of healthcare risk waste. So I see you as having a critical role in all of this. But it's not evident from my observing of the sector for the last 3 years that the sufficient guidance, particularly from the national department, with regard to understanding who can and cannot do the work, is being provided at the tender process to the provincial health department. I thank you, Chairperson.
Any other issues from Mr. Matebe?
Thank you. Mine relates to private practitioners. Because in most rural areas, they are not well monitored. So whose responsibility is that? Is that Department of Health or Municipal Health Inspectors or Department of Environment?
General practitioner.
Yes.
The way he does or she disposes. Good point. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Department of Health.
Thanks very much, Chair. In terms of the tender process for awarding these tenders, it's actually done at a provincial level. However, our role at national level is to actually develop guidelines in terms of the terms of reference. What is it that, when they engage into the process, what is it that they need to look at? However, where actually provinces lack a technical aspect, we do go down there and assist in terms of training them. What is it that is expected? But we do, as I'm indicating, that we do provide guidelines to provinces when they go through the process. But however, the decision at the end of the day lies with the provincial Department of Health.
Are there any norms and standards, I think what Mr. Morgan wanting to understand, are there any norms and standards that have been set by you or the Department of Environment which says that when people dispose of waste, then they must have these capacities or these abilities, this equipment and so on? I think that's really what the issue is. I mean, we understand that they do the problem is that he is alleging that, and it, I've heard it from other people as well, that clearly some of these people don't have necessarily the ways and means to do this. And what norms and standards are we setting to make sure that tenders are given to people that are going to be able to apply them, these very high standards that the DDG said has been set? I mean, if they're very high standards, clearly the people must then have the know-how and the expertise. That's the question, I think. No, you answer first. Don't let the other DDG overshadow you.
Okay. Thank you. Chair, let me just honestly say this, because it's one of the grey areas, and for the fact that it has been coming up in the department, a lot of parliamentary questions that one had to answer. As one of the priorities, the Director General has actually given us directives that we have to have norms and standards that relate to healthcare risk waste. As I'm saying, the process of we do have drafts, which if the members want to have a copy of it, we can actually, it's not with me here yet, but it's something that can be circulated. But I must say that it's still in a draft form, but it's one of the areas that the Director General has actually prioritized.
Now, ma'am, now you can answer. Do you want to add to that?
Let me attempt, Chair, and say the following, that, in fact, what Honourable Morgan was alluding to is I can confirm that it's more than an allegation, it is in fact fact. We did a study in the department that revealed the kinds of problems that he was alluding to in respect of these tenders that get awarded. And then what we did was we sat with the Department of Health and looked at how we could contribute to solving this problem. We worked on a tender of reference with the Department of Health, and that was to contract in a service provider that would look at some of the work that we did a couple of years ago. We piloted healthcare risk waste segregation systems in rural and urban settings. And the intention, even when the project was started then, was that the pilot would be rolled out across the country. Now, that dealt with segregation systems within healthcare risk, healthcare facilities, but it was always the intention, at least as we expressed it in the terms of reference, that part of the, or one of the outcomes of the strategy that would be developed from that work would be a tender spec. So we wished to have a tender spec that we would then offer to the Department of Health that would be incorporated into the, as it were, the adjudication process for these tenders. Now, we, on the basis that we had a terms of reference that was consulted, that was then approved, we in fact advertised that tender. And we are to adjudicate that tender. And we, of course, because this is meant to be a joint project, we asked the Department of Health to help us with adjudicating this tender, and as I understand now, we are meant to be involving the Health Professions Council. The Health Professions Council, I think, is what the department has indicated before we can proceed with this work. So there is work that is being done by both departments, I think, at different levels to look at the problem. Thanks.
Thanks, sir.
Chair President, honorable members, colleagues, good morning. I think the other challenge that honorable member raised is, I think awarding a tender is one, but ensuring compliance by people that have been awarded a tender is what has been a major challenge, which is an area that I must concede. I think we need to strengthen that, because the awarding of these tenders, whether it's awarded centrally, because health is a concurrent function, and for that matter, therefore, provinces would award or receive an awarded tender but monitor its implementation. We have been working on the strengthening of the service level agreement in CAR, because the difficulties we have had, Chairperson, is that at the level of desktop assessment of all bidders and stuff, you find that people that can get academia to write their tender specs and how to do it and even how to speak. So it lies, the problem lies more in at the time of implementation. Because for us, it's not only about compliance with the Environmental Act, but it's also making sure that healthcare waste does not become an infection problem, because it can be a cause infection both within the facility and outside of the facility. And then we sit straight in our own annual government plan in terms of long and healthier lives and for people and people taking care of their own lives. So that is very, very complex in that manner. So as the DDG has said, would work more closer, and perhaps we consult with the DDG for the today and tomorrow, so that we have some commitment to say by what time would we have completed that collaboration to make sure that we don't come back to the House and say, but we're still thinking of meeting, so that the House can be able to hold us accountable and say, but you said we'd work together. But we'll be able to, during the course of this public hearing, provide the same date on which we saw that by that time we'd have started the process of consultation, making sure that we finalize on the normative standards, both at the higher level, but at the level of implementation there, at the provincial, local, municipality level. Chair, can I just use the opportunity to also deal with the GP story, as I'm having the floor? Chair, as things would naturally fall between the cracks, unfortunately, it's our responsibility in terms of environmental health inspection of premises, and both where we sit in terms of the lobby norms and standards, and as the service has now been developed in the municipality in terms of municipal health services, for people to go into those people that are generating this healthcare waste, these healthcare waste and healthcare risk waste, to do that. We can only rely on the support of NGOs on the ground and communities on the ground, where our EIs are not able to see people to be reminded. But I think the good intention is for us to inspect every facility that generates waste. It's the GPs, it's the nursing homes, the old age homes, and private hospitals. It's a mirror of all practitioners that would not in the mainstream of public health sector that we should be able to cover. But I mean, I do consider that we do have a few of our own colleagues, professionals as they are, still dumping just on the streets next door. Thank you very much.
Following up on what we have just said, I understand that the public can see your eyes and ears on the ground, but do they know how and where to reach you?
Chair, our offices and our facilities, primary health care facilities, become the source of information for anybody who wants to raise concerns about health issues. That's the first. We could be limited by the fact that you don't have health care facilities with in the same proximity as we have many other facilities, but we do have facilities. But learning from this session, we could say how else we do in terms of social mobilization. But we do have health promotion activities and health promoters. We do have health community healthcare workers that are working in the community that are distributing to the households. In fact, the department is actually just working on the process of appointing community healthcare workers that should in fact move from house to house. So for us, that becomes an extension of the Department of Health into the community. But still, it may not be enough to be able to see, because people can dump immediately after they pass. So, but we hope that with that kind of extension, what we need to do, because those teams are based at the ward level, so that they are ward-based community health care teams that are working in the wards that we. But we've not yet covered all the wards. We go in there incrementally, and we hope to have covered all other wards, I mean, in the next 3 years or so. Thank you very much.
It seems to me, DDG, that it is vitally important that you sit down and work out, as part of the implementation of the waste strategy, norms and standards in the different areas. Like here you've got health waste. You know, what are the norms and standards for tenders in the health sector? Then you can go to the tire sector. And that will be less there than here, for example. But it seems to me that the only way you're going to, because this is cross departments, the only way you're going to do it is by setting norms and standards. Otherwise, we're not going to do it. So I think you urgently must attend to that. And in health, you've already done some drafting. I think we would like to see it. We understand it's a draft that could change quite dramatically. Then I just wanted to say to health, you know, a concurrent power, you mentioned, man, a concurrent power. The Constitution provides when it's implemented by the province. But, and this is what you must listen to, if you find that there's an area of health that's not being implemented properly, the Constitution gives you the power to take that away from the province. Very few people know it. Very few people, in fact, no department applies it. They always just moan and say this is a provincial thing and they're not. The Constitution is very clear in section 125. It says, implementing all national legislation within the functional areas listed in Schedule 4 and 5, except where the Constitution or an Act of Parliament provides otherwise. So, if the disposal of medical waste becomes a problem because it's not being applied properly in the provinces and so on, and that, I think one of you mentioned that maybe it should be looked at as a centralized issue, then there is a possibility in the Constitution. All you need to do is pass an Act of Parliament to provide accordingly. Of course, you need the political will as well, because it may not be that easy. But if that is really the only way we're going to deal with it and to get the tenders done properly within the norms and standards, then that's something that needs to be considered, at least by the department. So this thing that it's a concurrent power and it's a province, that's not true. It's true if you don't do something about it. If you do something about it by passing an act, you can change the situation and you can take away a particular power which is vested in the province, but is not being done. And if medical waste is one of those, for example, then that would be a possibility. So please bear that in mind. I'm not saying you must, but I'm saying that if that is your problem, there is something you can look at a solution. Okay? All right. I think that's fine for health. Anyone happy with that? I think we'll get that draft as well. All right. Then we have, where's Water Affairs? Water Affairs, human settlements, they just ignore us. They think they don't have to arrive in time. Okay. You say Water Affairs missed their plane. Did they sleep late? They flew this morning. Yeah? Everyone flies in the morning. So these members of mine flew in the morning. It doesn't mean you must come late. All right, let's move to COCTA, is the Department of
Hello, ma'am. Welcome. Thank you for making a submission and for being here today. And I must now also add, thank you for being timelessly here, seeing as that some departments don't come here timelessly. Do we have a submission from you?
Yes.
Let me just try and find it. It's the PowerPoint, but where is my copy? Yes, the packet. Have you got that copy? Oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky that you're not the chair. If you're the chair, you don't get one. Okay, thank you very much. Good morning. You saw what we're interested in, where the problem areas are. And, of course, your department is vital because municipalities play a big role. And so we'll be particularly interested what mechanisms have been put in place to actually see that municipalities actually achieve these goals and targets, okay? But I leave it over to you, ma'am. And Mr. Matebe, the presenter is Mojaji Malahlela. Malahlela. That's it for Mr. Matebe. He struggles to read, so I read for him. I can't pronounce so well, but okay, ma'am, it's you.
Thanks, Chair. Morning, honourable members and morning colleagues. I'll try to be very quick, just to stick within the 10 minutes time frame. Quickly, I'll just look at on the legislative provisions in terms of the service alignment to outcome line of the strategy, key issues from the strategy, way forward, and conclusion. We can just jump the slide on the purpose. We're looking at the strategy in terms of the fact that in terms of the constitution, refuse removal, refuse dumps and solid waste disposal is a municipal function, but also more importantly for us in terms of the Municipal Structures Act, that separates in terms of powers and function, in terms of your district municipalities, your local municipalities and your metros, because we feel that as we go and particularly into the implementation of the strategy, that sort of differentiation in terms of the focus of support, the focus in terms of monitoring and ensuring compliance should always take that perspective into consideration. And also then the Systems Act in terms of integrated development planning, and we agree with the spirit in the of the strategy as set out, but also that what we just want to emphasize is that the quality in terms of your IDP depends on the quality of input in terms of your various sectors. And obviously what the strategy says emanating from the Waste Act and any other guidelines become a very critical input for us in terms of the quality of the IDP. We improve support of the strategy and we also just want to confirm the alignment of the strategy, especially two goals in particular, although the other goals also are aligned, but two goals in particular from our perspective that are going to become a key issue for us in terms of our support to the strategies. In terms of goal two, that talks directly to output two of our delivery agreement on outcome nine, on access to services. And our key issue, and I'm sure honourable members have raised it now, is in terms of the way the strategy, in terms of the implementation, how is it going to ensure improved access rather than just in terms of sustaining the service as it has been rendered? And there are some key issues that as part of the input that we are proposing on how going forward we would work with the department in terms of the implementation. Goal 5 also on the waste management planning talks to our output 1 on differentiated approach to municipalities for planning, financing and support. And what we want to make as an input in terms of the waste is that we don't feel the element of differentiation coming out very clearly in the strategy. And as government we have said, municipalities are different. Even within your rural sort of setting of municipalities, still have differences in how, if we look at the implementation in terms of our norms and standards, in terms of service levels, how do we take into account that sort of differentiation? Because that is what is going to enable us to know what sort of support we give to what sort of municipalities for impact.
One of the projects that currently as a department we're involved in is to revise the IDP framework so that we start to focus on key services. And waste management has been identified as that key service. And subsequently to that, integrated waste management plan has been identified also as a critical element of our revised IDP framework. And that is why we're saying we fully support the strategy as presented, especially in terms of how it aligns our timeline in terms of the key issues, but also that as we come into the actual implementation, how then do we make sure that integrated waste management plan talk to the unique environment of the municipal situation. Some of the key issues that we also then want to make as input is that we agree and we are happy that the strategy is clear that there is going to be guidelines that are going to be set in terms of the integrated waste management plan. But what I want to indicate, and I've said it earlier, is that currently integrated waste management plan is the weak link in the IDPs. We know that IDPs, municipalities have to develop for each and every critical service there is a sector plan. And our assessment over the years is showing that waste management plan as a sector plan is a very weak link. In instances where it's developed, it's not necessarily talking to the unique environment of municipalities. It's more in a compliance rather than a plan that
actually... My ignorance. IDPs, we know they're vital in terms of the priorities of municipalities. Is there a law or a regulation or a guideline or a norm or standard that sets out what must be in an IDP? Or does each municipality just do their own thing?
In terms of the Systems Act, the guidelines of what Chapter 5 of the Systems Act is clear on the guidelines in terms of what must be in the IDP. But however, there are sector plans that are legislated in the Systems Act, and there are those that are not legislated directly in the Systems Act, like your waste integrated waste management plan that would have emanated from the Waste Act itself. And what we're saying is that in terms of the framework that we have worked on now from last year is that we say departments, for example, in this instance, would expect India to assist municipalities in terms of the guidelines to say we have an integrated waste management plan as a key sector plan in the IDP, assist municipalities in terms of providing those norms and standards and the guidelines and the actual support to develop such a plan. And what becomes DCOG's role in that regard is when we look at all the plans together, do they integrate? For example, if you look at your integrated waste management plan, is it aligned to the special development framework of that municipality? Is it talking to the integrated housing plan? Or is it just a plan that does not talk to any other sector plan?
Yeah, but maybe you can just think about it, because I'm asking you the question that I agree that one way of doing it is let VR help and create things from outside the IDP. But I'm trying to think, isn't there a better way of us, if we can set a blueprint for the IDP itself and put out very clearly what we expect on waste in the IDP, then that would be a better way of dealing with it than from an outsider trying to get in. If from your department side, you've already created and added to the IDP. Of course, the detail and how one does can then come from here. But that's just the thing. But you can respond to that later if there's that possibility. Go on with you.
Goal 5, what we are just making as a submission is that the finalization of the guidelines, which I think Taylor just said would answer the question that you were raising, Chair, that the guidelines within them that is going to serve as an important input on what is an integrated waste management plan contain, but we also say that the issue of differentiation should be taken into account when we look at the guidelines, also the issue of the powers and functions in terms of the specific categories of municipalities. But also saying as we work on the guidelines as well as an input, the issue of performance indicators, which a very large extent have been identified in the strategy itself, would become very critical. So that, you know, that linkage between the IDP, your SDVIP, and your performance management system will complete that sort of value chain. In terms of goal 5, what is said in the strategy says that the municipalities must amend the IDP to align with the integrated waste management plan, and you say IDPs are annually reviewed. And so that should not be a problem, because on an annual basis, municipalities review their IGP, and if circumstances change, that's the reason why they are reviewed annually. Our input is that we feel that the issue of the Special Development Framework and Housing Plan and the linkage to the Integrated Waste Management Plan has not been sufficiently covered, and as part of the implementation, because in your SDF, it will show you where your population concentration points are, where your growth points are. In your housing plan, it will show you, you know, in terms of your densification issues, so that the Integrated Waste Management Plan takes that into account and talks to the growth patterns in the municipality. The other issue is an input is that we feel that the strategy is more on monitoring of compliance, but the support to municipality that the department provides is not coming very clearly in terms of as sort of an anchor point. And that's the cry that you've been getting from municipalities in terms of the support. And earlier on it was the reason that most municipalities say, we understand in terms of waste, we understand in terms of what we have to do, but the how part of it is what is becoming a challenge. And we want, as part of the implementation, is that our input is that let the support be the one that comes even more stronger than more on the monitoring. On the targets, say, to the extent that it's possible, mid-term targets and milestones would also be helpful, because then it can assist municipalities as we work towards the 2015-16 targets to know that what are the mid-term targets that we'll be looking at. On goal 5, the previous slide, the issue of the roads. Table 5, page 56 says ZCOG must assist municipalities to develop integrated waste management plans. And our submission is that the sector plans are from the list of different sectors. Much as you have your housing sector plan and your energy plan, your transport plan, your waste management plan, it should be the responsibility of the sector department to assist municipality to develop that sector plan. And ZCOG's role is to ensure that there's alignment between the various sector plans. But obviously would then be supported by ZCOG, would not have the capacity to assist the municipality to develop, for example, a waste management plan, because we don't have that sort of skills and capacity and that knowledge that would be required to develop each and every individual sector plan in terms of all the sector plans that a municipality is supposed to be complying with. Just a few areas of support that we're proposing as part of the implementation of the strategy. We've spoken about the guidelines, and we're excited that the strategy is making reference to the fact that there will be guidelines. And earlier on, the DG spoke at length about the costing of the render of the service, and we are happy that is also being taken into account. The training on the preparation of the plans itself and alignment, I've spoken to about it, and also the mid-term milestones is one of the issues that we would really want to see as part of the implementation of the plan of the strategy. The proposal also on the intergovernmental team, we are excited about it. It will provide a very good platform for us to engage and to see how best we align and our efforts. But also DF participation, especially from the waste side in the IDP process, is one area that is also currently not as strong as it could have been. And we say that is one area where we can begin to ensure that the strategy is being implemented. The norms and standards, as it comes to the landfill management side, is also one area that we're excited that it's going to be dealt with, because it's also been raised in terms of from municipalities. It's one area that this compliance is not forthcoming. Goal 8 talks to waste management officers. Our submission on this one here is also that let's look at some sort of differentiation. For example, when you have a lot of smaller municipalities, rural municipalities, instead of each and every municipality having a waste management officer, why don't you have a district having that and rendering that function in terms of your metros and your secondary cities and larger towns that could afford, can afford to have that sort of a service. So we're saying, as we look at, we agree with the principle itself, but in terms of its application, also let's look at some sort of differentiation to take into account the capacity of municipalities, but also the value add in terms of the taking into account the social dynamics and the spatial character of a municipality. I was talking about the norms and standards issues. We are glad about it, and we say it's one area that on the service levels in particular, because one of the challenges that we get from municipalities, what they say is that in terms of service levels, they are having challenges in terms of developing service levels in order to manage stakeholder expectations, to target and to budget thoroughly. And we say the norms and standards, once finalized, will actually assist a lot.
in terms of that, and DICOM would support the department in the rollout of the norms and standards and to monitor, you know, compliance in that regard. Chair, thanks. In terms of the report, I think I've spoken to a lot of groups, is that we have 17 municipalities that we target in terms of the revised IDP framework, and saying as part of testing the applicability of the strategy and its implementability in terms of the key elements, we would make a submission that we join hands with the department to offer support in terms of some of the areas that have been identified and begin to, you know, to strengthen the strategy going forward as part of the revision process. Thank you, Chair.
All right, I think that's a very good input in the sense that they've taken from the action plan and on each of them commented. Obviously for me here it seems the difficulty is really to elevate waste as another plan from another department to an integrated part of the IDP. I mean, that for me is the question here, I think, in this department, if I look at it quickly. And then, of course, to put mechanisms in place, firstly, to assist in achieving that, and then secondly, to monitor it. That really seems to me to be the issues over here. Any questions from the committee? Any inputs? Ms. Wenger?
Thank you, Chair. Under the key issues in the slide, you're talking about moving away from compliance, but to a realistic, implementable plan, and to take into account financial and administrative capabilities of the municipalities. I'd like you to expand on that, that if you want to move away from compliance, what do you envisage and what are you proposing in doing that? Also, you are not mentioning anything about the permutation of sites. How are you going to be assisting municipalities with permutations? Because that's a huge issue in a lot of the municipalities, that a lot of the sites are not permitted. And also the cost effectiveness of this transfer station, because, you know, you're going to end up with the double handling and so on, transport costs involved and so on. Further to that, the sector plans are all good and well, but how do they marry to reality as to what is happening? It's all good and well to have the plans, but when it comes to the implementation, what is happening? And coming back to the IDPs, the IDPs in a lot of municipalities is a wish list. And when it comes to the prioritization, right, all these might be on that IDP plan, but the budget runs out at item 5. And your particular waste management plan is item 26, which means it's from year after year after year, it's pushed to the back burner and nothing happens in actual fact. And the sharing of waste management officer on a district level, but it all depends on the powers and functions. And as we know, the powers and functions in a lot of the municipalities versus the district are still not happening. And if you don't have that, it cannot happen. Thank you.
Ms. Mangani.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Wenger has covered me on this issue of IDP, because we know, all of us, that IDP, every time and yearly, they review the IDP. So I want to know what is the role, what will be the role of the department to can see to it that this issue of waste management is taken on board, because you go to the community with IDP. We've got our own priority as the community that we want this to be done first, as Honourable have already alluded. It's not all about the municipality. Even sometimes the municipality is the implementers, they just change what you have agreed upon. So, Mina, this that issue that talks more about IDP, I don't think if we are not hands-on about this issue, that the waste management, I don't think it will kick-start, because as we are, it's so difficult to can implement in the municipality. I think when we wanted something to be implemented, as this department that we are assisting, the particular municipality, we need to be babysitting the municipality so that they must get used to budget for that particular instance. Or we must say we must reinvest the money that we, the municipality is getting, so that they must be able to check this issue of the waste management, targeting the municipality, which one, the urban one or the semi-rural, or which one. Because really in all this municipality, I don't see it keep studying. It's only one municipality that I have seen doing something in the country, that is Itekwini. They were trying to do something, but in all this municipality that I have go across, I have never seen anything. I mean, when we talk, I agree what the plan is good. Implementation part of it is whereby all of us must put more effort. Thank you, Chair.
Anyone else? The department?
Thank you, Chair. The question on compliance, as indicated in the slide, as I answered, I link it to the implementability. Maybe the way it's captured is not very clear, but what we're saying is that currently the municipalities that are developing integrated waste management plan is just for compliance purposes. That when you come and say they have an integrated waste management plan, but when you look into the plan and check, you find that what is in the plan does not talk to how it's going to be rendering the service in a more practical way. And hence there's always a disjuncture between what would be in a plan and what gets implemented. And the compliance that's put in the slide, what we're saying is that we would want to with the help of the department, assist municipalities to develop integrated waste management plans that are developed and can be implemented by the same municipality. That would then be taken into account the capacity of that municipality and the resources. And it links, Honourable Member, to the issue that was raised on the IDPs being just wish lists. Because the truth is that the other side of it is that municipalities are caught between the rock and the hard surface. We say across departments, if it is not in the IDP, even when we can have money in the middle of the year, we're not going to fund it. Now, municipalities end up putting everything in the IDP so that if for some reason health comes and say we have some money, then they can pull a project from that IDP, because if it was not there, it was not going to be implemented. One of the things that we have advised municipalities that in terms of the IDP, then let us have as part of the prioritization and looking at the competing needs and the resources available. Let's have a section that talks to those projects that are budgeted and are going to be implemented. Let's have another section in the IDP that talks to the projects that are a priority as coming from the community participation process, but that do not have any budget attached to it and will not be implemented. So that if resources are made available from other sectors, those projects can be pulled from the IDP and implemented. So that's really the challenge that we're facing. In terms of the transfer station and the issue of the permit of size, and I talked, it talks to the issue earlier on, the submission from the department that is saying, as DECOG, we don't have the technical capacity in terms of waste specifically or waste, housing and or any other sector or service that the municipality is raising. But it is the responsibility of a sector department to assist that municipality, with DECOG playing a coordinating role and ensuring that it supports and ensures that there's integration between various spheres. Because if DECOG, for example, begins to assist the municipality in terms of developing a waste plan, then the same expectation is that DECOG must assist the municipality to develop a housing plan, a water services development plan, a special development framework, in terms of all the sector plans that are legally required for a municipality. But the role of DECOG is to ensure that all the plans, through the help of line departments that help municipalities to develop their sector plans, ensure that there's integration among the plans so that when they come into the IDP, and IDP really becomes an integrated plan and not just, you know, individual plans, and that's really one of the challenges that we have. Hence the submission is that UCOP, in terms of the action plan, cannot be expected to assist municipalities to develop a waste plan. But the department must assist municipalities to develop the integrated waste management plan, obviously the support of DECOG, and DECOG making sure that there's integration and alignment between your special development framework and all the other sector plans that form part of the IDP. In terms of the, I think I've spoken in terms of the waste management officer, the sharing of function, the final submission, Honourable Member, was that
we support that principle, but we say in terms of the implementation, we might want to get quite a number of issues like the issue of powers and function, the issue of the capacity and the capabilities of municipalities, so that we don't expect each and every municipality to have a waste management officer, but we can look at a model that is going to work best. For example, in areas where obviously your metros, your secondary cities, your large towns, you'd expect them to have by virtue of the economic activities there and just the ways that it's generated. But in your rural, very small municipalities, you know, what you normally categorize before in terms of the MLIF classification, you might want to have to say, because you're in this district, you can have a district, if the district has got capacity, obviously, you can have your waste management officer being stationed at a district and serving all the other municipalities so that you don't have a lot of duplication and also looking in terms of the affordability sense.
Do we have a blueprint of what a waste management plan should look like? Do all municipalities have that? You see, in line with what you're saying, it seems to me what the two departments must do. You guys must sit down and bearing in mind the differentiation, there's metros, there's sit down and then say, this is what a small municipality's waste management plan should look like. Not guidelines, but actually physically say this is what a plan looks like. Then for a district municipality, this is what it looks like. For a metro, this is what it looks like. I think you guys should sit down and work that out. Then you need to sit down with the municipality and say to them, this is what it should be looking like, including what you would like to see in the IDP. So to actually draft physically what also should be in the IDP and in the plan, so that you can actually give people blueprints and say, this is what, of course you must now develop it for your municipality, but this is what we need to have in those municipalities. And then from our department side, the things you're saying about them needing to then support, then you need to then tell them what support we can give. So for example, once we've got a blueprint of a waste management plan, once we've got a blueprint of what we want to see in an IDP, once you guys have sat together and worked that out, then we need to then find ways then to make sure that that takes place on the ground and what kind of help will be given. If we don't do that, then we're going to not meet these targets. Because it's two departments talking about targets, but it's actually a completely different. How many entities are there? 800. How many municipalities are there?
278.
Oh, 200. Yeah, I knew it was 100. And before it was even more 100. 278 different entities then have to implement that thing, which we've agreed to in these two departments. So these two departments are now going to work out the blueprint of what to do. You physically need to actually do it. So then you can sit down with the municipality and say, this is how you do it. If you need help, this is the task team we'll have ready to help you to actually then physically draft your plan. I don't know, that seems to me to be the best way to deal with this thing. How's it not going to work? To try and, I mean, as Ms. Wenger said, and you've given the reason for it, we've tied municipalities' spending of their money to IDPs. So you're going to be stupid as a municipality not to put in your wish list in the IDP, on the pure chance that somewhere money is going to become available. Because if it does become available, not in the IDP, then someone can come and say you're spending it illegally. I like your idea of putting what you've got money for separate from what you haven't got money in the IDP. I think that'll go far away. But that doesn't affect this management, because they have to have this. And it has to be in the part of the strategies. And I do think that we really, from our side, think you guys will go and try and report to us what you're doing. Okay? Do you think that is a possible plan from what we're saying?
Yes, actually we started that with DOA in the previous years, and it's working very well in terms of the guidelines and the blueprint, and saying if you are this type of municipality, this size, in terms of the IDP, this is what you need to be focusing on, and it's working quite well.
You see, guidelines and norms are the legal framework in which it must take place. That's fine. I'm talking about something else. It's actually to physically draft the plan and say,
by looking at our guidelines and our norms, this is what a plan should look like. This is what you should have in there. Waste from the trash can. You will separate the waste. You will put the one in a blue bag, one in a green bag, one in, you know, so your plan has to be like that. How much will it cost? There was a municipality that came and spoke here, I don't know what they spoke about, but somewhere in the Transkei, old Transkei, who wonderfully got money from clever ways, and they have now got a whole recycling system going. Very cleverly, people, just the workers in that municipality just did it on their own and came up with a wonderful plan. So I really think what we must now do, because you and I know that of the 278 municipalities, the metros will know what to do, maybe. But from there onwards, you can forget. So we must now do these things and show them how to do it. And then we must have a capacity, Matt, we must have a capacity in the department. I don't know if you want to call them the reaction team, the clever team, the whatever, whatever. But then have to have a team available to help those people put those plans, to then put them into operation. We must be able to do that. Else it won't happen. All these things Ms. Manganya keeps raising with us. I mean, it's no use us saying just yes, yes, yes. So are you guys on board on this? And you will report back to us what has happened. Ma'am.
Okay, I'd like to deal with this issue straight away, the matter of the blueprint as opposed to a guideline. So we have a guideline, we just developed a guideline. And then we went a step further to develop, I think what you call a blueprint, we call it a toolkit. And it is a tool, albeit web-based, but it is a tool that municipalities can populate, and at the end of that process, it spews out an IWMP. We developed that tool. We ran training sessions in Limpopo and KZN. We are going to do the other provinces in the rest of this year. But essentially what it does, so you sit down with a municipality and you say, okay, if you look at your area or your jurisdiction, what is the population? What is in your waste stream? So we put all of that information in the tool, in the web-based tool. And at the end of that, because an IWMP is as good as what you put into, it is as good as the information you gather to develop it. So it's not quite possible to develop a generic IWMP because what ends up being the plan depends pretty much on the population size,
but
waste stream analysis.
But you're not listening to me. You may have done all these things and they are there, but when I listen to the Department of COCTA, when I listen to all my members, we know that this is not happening on the ground. So that's the truth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now what I'm asking you from this committee side, you must now start thinking differently. So you've got a toolkit. The toolkit only worth something if you have the right information to put into it. So, how do you go to municipalities and help them get the right information to put in there, number one? How do you assist them? Not just you, I mean the two departments. How do you assist them to do that? Then, how will you, two of you, what we're saying to you, must come up with a whole plan, then to say, okay, how do you follow up to make sure those provinces that you work, that each one of them do have a waste? What is now going to a province doing workshops and so on? You leave the province, there's still not waste management plan. That doesn't help. So what I'm saying to you, we must take it a step further now. Not just providing toolkits and so on, but the two departments now have to physically take on the responsibility of how you're going to get these municipalities to get those things done. Okay, so that's what I'm saying to you, Mizzou. That step further we need to go. That's what I'm asking you. How you do it, I'm leaving up to you. All I'm saying is you guys have come and report back to us and say, with us putting all these new things in place, we are now able to see waste management plans are being developed, and they've been developed in these. We've now done the POCO, we've done go to the Eastern Cape quickly because there's always problems there. Do it. So go to your provinces first where there are big problems and help there. Once you start doing this, then it will have its own momentum. Municipalities will start talking to each other and they'll start doing it themselves. So that's what I'm saying to you guys. I don't need to know the detail of what they eat. I'm saying to you now, find different ways, because what you've done so far is still not working. Okay? And as I say, the big problem I have, if you just create norms and standards, that's important. But with municipalities, unfortunately, you have to go a step further. You have to go there physically and make sure that they're doing it. Because they haven't got the capacity. You know, if you Delmas, for example, and you are so clever in Delmas that you get rid of your engineer, because the engineer's salary is the biggest salary in the municipality, and you rather employ 7 people at a different salary, you get rid of your engineer and then people start dying of cholera. This is the kind of capacity that we've got at local government. We must be honest about it. They make stupid decisions because they're under different pressures at local government level. Everyone wants to use the municipality to create jobs and things and that, and all these other things, instead of delivering services and so on. So you guys must now start becoming, in a clever way, becoming that link that Ma is saying, of actually capacitating them to meet your norms and standards and getting to that. So that's all we say. I don't need to know further about the detail of it. You guys must now just report back to us, let's say, give us the first report, say, in 3 months, okay? On this municipal thing, not on the other stuff, just on the municipality, how we can see you've developed it further. Okay? I think you've heard it. All right. Okay, that's it. Saga? Where's Saga? Good day, Saga. I think I've just done your whole input for you and all your solutions as well. But if you want to add or subtract to that, please go ahead. You're very kind of you to come and be here today. Where's the input? Okay, it looks like this big black dark one. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman, Honorable Members. Thank you for this opportunity to participate here in this public hearing. My name is Chris Hunsinger. I'm a councillor and PEC member of Salga Western Cape, and with me is our Salga Waste Management Specialist, Marvelous Nengovela. We have
a marvelous name.
Indeed. Indeed. And specialist on this sexy topic, Honorable Chairman. We have, in fact, sent out a draft to the 278 municipalities for comment and input, and we would offer you a summary as feedback highlighting the impact of the NWMS against current municipal practices, and Marvelous will do the presentation.
That's Marvelous.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Chairperson, and Honourable MPs, colleagues from sector departments. I'll be taking you through our brief submission to the National Waste Management Strategy. I must indicate, Honourable Chairperson, that we were part of the finalization process towards the strategy. However, we want to have a brief input on the final document. And just to take you through what we would focus on to be a typical current waste management practice at the local government or municipalities. Also, the implication of the implementation of strategy to our municipalities, the zooming into the management and administrative capacity of municipalities, as well as strengthening leadership and oversight role in our municipalities, and also the financing part of the strategy. Honourable members and chairperson and colleagues, you know that from the constitution, municipalities are responsible for the refuse removal, the refuse dump, as well as the disposal part of the process. Then the National Waste Management Strategy emphasizes much more on the avoidance, as you can see from the waste management hierarchy. And in terms of local government, when we focus on the constitution, our traditional role is at the bottom part, which is a least preferred option at the moment, which is a traditional and constitutional municipal function. Then when we implement the strategy, the whole part above, we consider it as a new mandate area. However, there are some work that currently going on in municipalities, but on an ad hoc or automated process. Let's go to the next slide, please. Then, we, as local government, we feel that we need to build capacity in terms of the new mandate area in municipalities. And that will be your avoidance, reduce, reuse, and recycle and treatment of waste. Again, while building the capacity on that new area, we still have the responsibilities, which is in the constitution, which is to say all our disposal sites must be in compliance with legislation or must be regularized, which at the moment is still a bit of challenge in most of the municipalities. But still, this is the area that we still need to do. Also, we still need to extend the services to the unserviced, mostly the current scenario. Most of the municipalities are providing waste management services to only the urban and urban communities. We still have to extend it to the rural and other peri-urban areas. Again, also to improve the efficiency in terms of what we're doing at the moment, the organizational and institutional arrangements, also the financial and sustainability within our municipality, and that will talk about pricing and funding. And we believe that if the new area, we only leave it to municipalities, we might run into trouble in terms of meeting the goals and the targets that are on the strategy. Hence, we've been in contact with the department to say all the role players in the new area or in terms of the new strategy, or in terms of the strategy, needs to be brought on board, including the private sector. Mostly, when we talk about recycling, most of waste, you have the packaging waste, and municipalities, they are not the generator of the packaging waste. And I understand there's a work that is going on in the department with the packaging industry or with the private sector. Then in terms of the management and administrative capacity, we believe that focus should be on the ability of municipality to perform this function as the waste management hierarchy. And one area that we have identified it being the area that we need to focus on is the designation of waste management officers. And we believe that waste management officers will play an important role in coordinating waste management matters, including the implementation of the National Waste Management Strategy. Going on with waste management officers, we further appreciate what the department has done in terms of developing a guideline to assist municipalities when designating these waste management officers. And ESCAL will also continue talking to municipalities to say there's a need to designate these waste management officers. However, we recommend that over and above the guideline, here we should assist, department should assist in strengthening the capacity of municipality and these waste management officers so that they will be able to deal with the waste management issues on a day-to-day or ongoing basis. Then in the area of leadership and oversight, as far as we believe that there's a strong need to empower decision makers in local government so that they can actively provide leadership and play an oversight role in the provision of waste management services, also in terms of the in accordance with the waste management strategy. Then we say also this will assist in improving the profile of waste management services in local government, because at the moment, as compared to other services like your water or electricity, waste management services receive a low priority. Once we engage our leaders in local government, we believe that this will assist in trying to uplift the services. And also we acknowledge what the department has done in terms of training all MMCs in local in municipalities in the area of waste management. Next slide, please. We recommend that over and above the MMCs or the councillors in local government, we suggest that, I mean, we recommend to the department that we need to focus on the technical directors in these municipalities so that they will be, they are aware of the issues that are happening or that needs to be taken into consideration in the waste management sector, as well as the CFOs of municipalities. In saying what are the implications of implementing the waste management strategy, what are the budget implications. So we recommend the department that this is an area that we need also to focus on in trying to get this strategy be implemented smoothly or effectively by municipalities. Then in the area of finance, we believe that it's important to note...
I don't fully understand this issue of finance. Of course, we know there's always shortage of money and everyone wants money, but I would have thought that in the area of recycling and reuse, this is the, except in the smallest municipalities, but in reasonably sized municipalities, I mean, I don't know why it should be a financial burden, because this is where the private sector can get involved. I mean, I've never understood this too. I mean, I don't understand when we keep saying that this is a big problem. I mean, here in Cape Town, my city, where I live, every Tuesday, today, a guy, a local, a chap that's got his own company, comes with his bucky, with his two or three workers. We all put our plastic bags outside with the recycling stuff these guys collected. I can't remember what his company's name is. It's a private guy. He does it on behalf of the municipality. I don't understand this thing that we keep saying we must give finances for recycling. I can understand it for your traditional kind of work. But I don't understand, there's no plans. I don't see any of you ever putting any plans forward for the private sector to be involved. This is exactly this. What do we talk? How many billion? 50. How much was it? 10 billion. In the waste sector, 10 billion rand is available for people to make money. So why do we keep saying as municipalities we need finances from the fiscus to do the recycling, these new mandates? I don't understand that. Some municipalities are doing it. They don't go out for money. They get the private sector in, they outsource it to them, or they tender, or whatever they do. And as I say, my guy does it wonderfully. Every Tuesday, he leaves three plastic bags for me because I've got a lot of waste there. And he takes my waste away and he makes money and he makes a living and it looks like he's very wealthy. Why all this money? We need money, we need money.
Honorable Chair, if I can comment on that, Honorable Chair, the volume count when it comes to recycling, and in most of the small municipalities, you find the volume is very low, and Honorable Chair, the once municipality has collected the recyclables, they need to be taken by either private sector for processing, then it can generate a revenue for municipality. However, when the volume is very low, when it's low, then it becomes a challenge, and most of private sector are not...
I said the small municipalities have a different challenge. But the vast majority of municipalities, I take your bet, I will go to every single of those towns, and there will be an old man there with a bucky. You gave him the contract, he'd be prepared to do the job. I want to take you a bet about it. Because you see, in the end of the day, there's a huge amount of people that are out of work in this country. If you're going to give them, I mean, they stand now at the stock street, the guy standing there with his plastic bag collecting waste in the car. And they're clever guys, they make money out of doing a very simple job. When you start saying, but yeah, it's a contract from the municipality, you do the whole municipality job. Show me where they know people are not going to be prepared to do that job.
So all I'm saying is, let's not overemphasize this money thing. Because this new mandate, the recycling, the reuse and that, I think the money can be generated elsewhere, other than the fiscus having to pay and your own taxpayers and your own ratepayers having to pay. So, I make the point. I mean, you hear what I'm saying. There will be some things I expect where money will be needed. But that's a separate issue, okay?
We know that, Honorable Chair.
Okay.
Then,
I think what has to be done is this department must now sit down, and the same as we said with our, they must sit down and work out norms and standards that if we want to tender these things to people, at least what we expect from a person. You know, I mean, with this thing, all you need is a bucket. See, it's not like the waste, the health waste. But okay, you know, I'm now telling them they must work out those norms and standards, those guidelines. Okay, go ahead with your input.
Thank you, Chair. We feel that it's important to know that for municipality to implement the national waste management strategy effectively and at the same time improving the traditional waste management service provision, there are issues or finance that needs to be taken into consideration. And at the moment, it's unclear as to what it costs municipality to provide waste management services in compliance with legislation from the point of generation and to the disposal. And we raised that with the department during the finalization of the National Waste Management Strategy, and we understand that there's a work that's currently going on or towards the completion to assist municipality to say, for you to perform this function, it can cost you so much. Next slide, please. And we understand that the outcome of the study will assist in terms of assessing as to whether the current allocation for the service is adequate, because at the moment we do not have that clear indication as to what it costs us. Then it will inform also the municipal tariff setting for the services. And here, that's where we will have to make a decision to say, do we have to pass the total cost to the household, or is there a need to look for either additional allocation if what we get at the moment is not adequate? I think that's the second from the last. And in conclusion, Chair, we would like to request the Parliament to know the issues that we've raised, also for DIA to consider these recommendations for effective implementation of the strategy. And I thank you, Chair, and Honourable Lindner.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Members? Seems to just fit into Copter's input. You see, as I've said, I want to repeat what I said to Copter and to DEA. Obviously, SAGA should be included in what I said earlier. That you guys should go and sit down and see where the gaps are and why these things are not working. I mean, the first one is you've been trying to set the tariffs and that's good work you've been doing. But for example, how they need to go and find cost these things, how you create that ability to them. Those things you have to look at and see what capacities you'll put in place to help do that. As I say, at the end of the day, for me, waste is not a problem, it's an opportunity. If I was an entrepreneur of any sort, I'm not. I'm just a lawyer who's got no skills in entrepreneurship at all. In fact, if I had to run a tuck shop, it will not work. Because I'll probably eat all the sweets in the tuck shop and won't sell anything. But so I can't help you with these things because I'm not entrepreneurially inclined, me. But it seems to me that waste is just one big opportunity. And particularly for people with less skills. You know, if I was a municipality, I would go and find some people who've got some good skills in my community entrepreneurially, and I'll make sure I pull them together into a business to make sure they handle my waste in my town. And all the costs will go there. They'll make the money, how they distribute. You wouldn't, the municipality wouldn't have to really pay money. Me, I would have done that if I was, I wouldn't be able to do it myself, but I would get the people that know entrepreneurially. So for me, waste, I think our whole approach to it is wrong. We like looking at it as a burden. Oh, this burden that the Lord put onto us to, it's not. This is a huge opportunity to make work and create stuff and keep your towns clean and you know, make South Africa a lovely place to stay. That's what waste is. Not a burden. There's countries where it works. Man, it's not 5 billion, it's 50 billion the amount of money they make out of this stuff. Because there's enormous possibilities with waste. I don't think we've captured it. You see, this is the problem with the Department of Environment. They also, like me, they're not entrepreneurially skilled. They don't think like a trade and industry. Trade and industry would think differently about waste than we think. So we must look at this as an opportunity. I think we must change our emphasis and get these things to work. I think a lot of this stuff we can sort it out very easy. I saw a hand, Ms. Wenger. You wanted to take a follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think what we haven't addressed in any of, hasn't been addressed in any of the presentation is basically the aging equipment and the infrastructure as municipalities that they have and the replacement values of replacing these trucks and so on, which puts a huge financial burden onto the municipalities. And secondly, also the role that the unions are playing. If you're, because if you're going to start getting private people in to handle your waste removal, they're looking at it as privatization and the role of somebody in that as well. And I think those are the two issues that I think none of you has.
Yeah, no, I know that, man. You know, for Sartre, well. Okay. All right. I think that's all, I mean, I take that as a point. But I see, you see, what Ms. Wenger is raising here is an important issue. The issue, this is where we where municipalities need money. If you want to properly replace equipment and stuff, that you can expect we need money, either through ratepayers or through the fiscus. And this is where, again, where the cocktail and the department can play a role. I mean, to assist and make interventions with Treasury. And as Ms. Kobena has said, you know, I have never seen a well-worked-out plan given to Treasury, which had merits and so on, that they've been able to turn down. I've never seen it myself. Maybe other people have. So the better you organize, the better you skill, the better you've got information from the municipalities through SALGA and through the municipalities, the better we are able to make those interventions. And then, of course, the issue of the COSATU one, I mean, it's always a problem with them. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, this is a place where we must bite the bullet. I mean, if there's not money to create jobs in the municipality to do waste disposal, but we can get the private sector involved, then that's a battle we must fight. It's a battle. We're not saying that municipalities who've got workers doing waste disposal, we must get rid of them. We're not saying that. They must still have a job to do. But we're saying here's a new mandate. Your choices are take more money from the ratepayers, employ more staff through the municipality and then the unions, and let them do the work. Or we're saying, no, don't let the municipality collect any more money we don't need from the fiscus. We can go out on tender, and someone can do this job on a tender. I mean, we must fight those battles. No one is trying to say that, I mean, this is not something that is God-given to any union. I mean, what is the cheapest and the best way for us to provide a service to our people? In this case, it's not to collect more money from the people who haven't got money to give. It is to create a different way of doing it. So, you know, I think these kind of battles we must fight, and we must be prepared to fight. So Ms. Wenger is quite right. There will be a problem, but as far as I'm concerned, this is not an outsourcing thing, getting rid of workers thing. This is keeping your workers you have. This is creating more workers, creating more work, but not necessarily through working for that employer, but on a contract to that employer. It's different. I mean, I don't, for me, you know, I'm prepared to fight those things. I'm prepared to argue them. And Dr. Huang, are you also prepared to fight this issue? We'll send you to Kusatu, to Mr. Vaz.
No, I don't do present of a union.
Sir. Definitely doesn't have to talk to you.
No, I like Kusatu.
That's the new topic.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that this one, for the true to the Sakha is a presentation. Unfortunately, I doubt why today is a public hearing. We haven't invited some the municipalities. Because this, now we're discussing what any issue off from the this municipality side. But we haven't listened to any municipality voice. Now, Sakha, how relationship with the municipality? We don't know. Because Sakha said some issue, like the chapter that you said is a financial issue. This big problem of financial issue. Implementing the cost, who is the paying the implementing cost? By DEA or by Sakha or municipality, how they can make this budget? We don't know. So I just say, unfortunately, today we showed for municipality some representative from the Western Cape or from some province and come tell us what problem they have. Thanks.
Anyone want to respond to that or does it make sense? You happy? Okay. All right, let's move to the next input. I think on local government, the issue is simply more has to be done and we have to be creative. We must capacitate municipalities to try and do these things, okay? And in 3 months' time, I want to report to see how far we've got with new thinking on this issue, okay? Ma'am?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to respond to the issue of the new mandate and the recycling and waste as an opportunity to say, Chair, that in fact we share that sentiment. We think that the private sector should get involved with recycling. The strategy is very clear on that. There is lack of infrastructure, recycling infrastructure in this country. And the strategy says that this is actually the domain of the private sector. Now, in terms of what has been done there, for the paper and packaging industry, for instance, we're looking at a waste management plan, industry waste management plan, which we've had to put on hold because of the fact that we need to do a regulation that is going to guide how industry management plans are done. Because we've got, there were four industries that were identified by the minister to come up with industry waste management plans. The tire industry, paper and packaging, pesticides industry, and the lighting industry. Now, when the plans came in, they were all saying, well, we need a regulation. So instead of doing a piecemeal regulation, we then said, we will do one that actually takes into account all of these things. So work has started to get private sector involved very, very closely in the recycling so that we can have, because we haven't had the recycling infrastructure in this country for various reasons, and we're trying to fix that. So there is work there. And then I'd like to just acknowledge, Chair, the cooperation we have received from, or assistance we have received from SALDA in the various training interventions that we have done across the country. Because one of the reasons, as expressed earlier, one of the reasons that there's an under-prioritization of the provisioning of waste services in the country is because of lack of capacity. The people that are involved in making these very crucial decisions on waste management are not necessarily, in all cases, trained, or they don't necessarily have the capacity to be able to make those crucial decisions. So we worked with SALGA to train 250 councillors across the country last year, with the exception of the ones that are in Limpopo, which we will do this year because we need to go at district level, but then they expressed that wish. So we trained the councillors, and as SALGA were recommending there that we need to train technical directors and CFOs. In fact, we cancelled the tender last week because we didn't find suitable service providers, but that is in the plan, to train 556, a total of 556 officials that will include all the technical directors that are responsible for waste management in municipalities, as well as their CFOs, the chief financial officers, because CFOs are very critical in terms of the budgeting. They're the ones that go to the councils to present on resource allocation around the different services that municipalities provide. So I just wanted to indicate that we've worked with SALCA on all of those and acknowledge their assistance.
Is that the DISA, what will we call it, connection? Is it sorted out now?
How do you mean is it sorted out?
Oh, it was a complete fiasco. I mean, one day there's a law, the next day it's withdrawn, then it's there.
Okay. So,
I mean, you know, it was, the committee's never had a report of it.
Right. So
from the outside, I must say, it was very incompetent.
So we can give feedback on that. Where we are at the moment is that the Minister ran the public participation process again. So the tire plan for that was proposed, or that is proposed by RDISA, was gazetted a month ago for public comment, and the comment period closed on the 17th of June. So what is meant to happen is that RDISA is then supposed to consider all those comments, prepare comments and responses document, amend the plan where it is appropriate, submit it to the department for consideration, and then the minister is going to decide whether she wants to approve it or not. What has also happened in the meantime is that the other plan, which was submitted by SATRIP, the South African Tire Recycling Project, since it was rejected, the minister then provided a date by which it must be resubmitted. That plan was resubmitted in April. We then had to provide comments by the 30th of April to that plan, which we did. And SATRIP, we understand, are busy considering those comments. In the meantime, what they have done, they have had to publish that plan, or to put it in the language of the regulation, they have had to bring it to the attention of the public. And they did that by way of placing a newspaper advert. What is then meant to follow is that, in fact, we're going to meet up with them, I think, in the next 2 weeks to go through the comments that we gave them. We prepared a 19-page document for them with comments for them to consider. We're going to meet and clarify all of those. Then the expectation would be that they would work those into the plan and then submit again. And then we'll go through the whole process with that and see if the minister would like
so
to approve that.
Start on
well, in as far as public participation is concerned. We also, Chair, received another plan from RMI. We got that in December. We provided, it was December last year, we provided comment to the RMI in the middle of April this year, and they, as we understand, are also considering those comments. We are waiting for them to submit.
So there's three plans.
There's three plans that we have looked at as a department.
And when you finish with that, then we'll have a plan what to do with Kai.
Correct.
Yeah, that wasn't a very happy episode for the department, I must say. All right, water and human settlements haven't arrived. I wanted to write to the DGs of those two departments and say we want to thank them so much for taking the time to participate in this process. Unfortunately, the people that had to present their papers didn't arrive at the meeting by the time we adjourned the meeting. Just leave it at that. Don't make any comment or anything. Just thank them for participating so nicely, but not arriving. Okay, I don't think it's worth our while doing something about it. It's just bad taste. And I hope that those DJs, when they receive the letters, will do something. Of course, with water affairs, we can do something later, but with human settlements, something else. Can I say that I'm a bit more clear of what waste is about? I now know it's got nothing to do with sanitation, which is unfortunate because I came here prepared for sanitation, not for waste. I'd have thought sanitation is also waste, but it's not waste. I haven't read the paper, but from the inputs and from your responses, DDG, which you've been very diligent to make sure you respond to things, it looks to me as we've got, and from the comments from the other departments, it looks like we've got a plan that's broadly agreed to, and that seems to be a good plan, and so on. But as always, the proof is the pudding of the eating, and this pudding is going to be difficult to eat. This is not an easy pudding, because this pudding says, to come and eat some of my pudding, you must put some money first up front and pay some cost to get and become part of the eating of the pudding. So, you know, I think that the department must sit down and you guys must think outside of the box. All the things that people usually do, you form an inter-ministerial committee, you form an inter-departmental committee, all those things have been done and so on, that's good. You've created subgroups to deal with it, that's good, and so on. But you'll have to think outside of that, and how you're going to monitor this thing, make sure the outcomes are done, and how you actually, more importantly, going to physically be able to help to get these things done. Like all the things we said on municipalities is absolutely vital. Now the one thing I do need from you, DG, we've said we want a full set of the whole legal framework dealing with waste across all departments. So whatever documents there are, Health is busy with something. But I want you to draft a document for us, and I think you must meet with your colleagues from the other departments when you do this. I want you to sit down and look at this legal framework and say, this is what exists. A white paper, a law, at this, in that department there's a law that deals with health waste, section so and so, of the Health Act. So you look at that whole framework. But more importantly, I want you to identify all the places where there are gaps. Like one of the places you've now told us, these four industries that ministers identified, you've said, well, you can't do anything in those four industries unless we've got regulations. So there's a gap. We need regulations to regulate the waste management in those four industries. Health, there's a set of regulations needed. COCTA, we need a proper blueprint. I don't know, you said there's a toolkit, but how will we create a blueprint of what a waste management plan looks like, plus what we want to see in an IDP to be able to, you know, to be able to help people to do. So all those gaps that we need, so that when we interact with you next time, we're able to tick off those gaps. You say, how far are you with this one? You know, okay, this one's done. Norms and standards for tenders across the different departments. Some are more important, like health is more important than, say, reuse. Because reuse, you basically, the person needs a car, a truck, a van, you know, and a company. But that's all they need. Not more than that. So work out that whole thing for us, what exists and where the gaps are, where we still need regulations on. We have that blueprint, and then we need that report from you, from local government, to see how far we are to try and think out of the box in about 3 months' time, okay? This other schedule, this thing with the gaps in it, that doesn't have to take 3 months. I mean, I'm sure you can do that by tomorrow. You know. We don't need it by tomorrow, but, you know, let's say a week or so, all right? Can't think that you need more time than that. If you need more time than that, then you guys are fast asleep. I can't think that you need more time. Maybe you need a little
bit of time. We can provide it in the next week.
Well, I want to give you a bit more time because if you want to meet with the other department, at least to say where are the gaps, and then together you can make sure you've got it. Okay. I think that's it. Tomorrow we'll then take inputs. There's about 7 inputs from different industries and so on. Make sure that all the members have got copies of the document. Write a letter to the 2 DGs. In fact, there are 7 inputs tomorrow. So we'll continue with that. Anyone want to raise anything before we adjourn? Okay. Can I thank the departments very much? Thank your DGs as well. Say that I really appreciate you participating. This is a way for us to make sure we integrate where there are programs across departments. There's no way other than meeting and trying to see that you integrate your work, okay? And I want you guys to think more creatively how we're going to integrate all this stuff. We need to make this thing work. This is a huge opportunity. If I was Minister Patel, I'll go back to my working, what is that, working plan, what is it called? What has he done? The working, the plan he did for create jobs, what is it? What is it called? The growth plan. I knew it was something, I didn't know what it was. But if I was him, I would go to industries, to areas like this, waste and so on. I'll get a plan there and make sure you guys meet those targets and create huge amounts of jobs. This is a good, big area of opportunity. Grab this with both hands. Create jobs for our country and let's dispose of our waste in a meaningful way. Okay. Thank you very much for all your participation.